Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, now we're in the group. Little bit more organized here. Something about Mondays, like that first pancake off the grill. That's not quite the best, but you get two or three more into it, you're all set. So Tuesday, like I say, we're kind of cooking here. Today's been an interesting research event because I was looking at something that I really just have a theory for, and Gene's going to start us off here in just a minute. But I kind of had this theory that if you say it, you believe it, and if you believe it, it's for you, it's a reality. And I was looking at the GOP, the folks that use words like President Biden and Biden administration. They actually buy into this stuff. And because they do that, it's impossible for them to challenge it. And if it's impossible for them to challenge it, they're not going to win in 2022 because they're running against what they consider President Biden when, in fact, he's not. And this disconnect is something I want to talk about. I want to talk to Gene about it. I want to do all kinds of things with this. And there's no sources. I mean, I got one on the psychology of belief, which actually is fascinating. But as far as the idea of the affirmation of saying something that you either think is untrue or believe is untrue, totally contradicts what you're going to be able to do. It's not going to happen. Anyway, I want to get to – well, Gene, I don't know, do you want to react to that initially, and then we'll get to your presentation this morning. What do you think? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everybody.
I know it's a lot for a first thing.
I know, and it's, I don't even know where to begin, really,
yeah.
Because, yeah, it to me, we have I don't want to say two divisions. One, it's like people that can get by with anything, do anything, say anything,
uh-huh.
And above the law. And then you got other people that are guilty just by association.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's like the idea of saying that Biden is the legitimate president and Trump is the coup, when the reality is just the opposite. Trump is the legitimate president and Biden is the coup. And yet people have twisted that around. And that, I think we've covered that. But what I don't think we've covered is the fact that the GOP, how can they represent us? How can they be honest? How can they actually follow through on their beliefs if they keep saying President Biden? That's acknowledging the coup. And I said that in casual passing, but the more I think about it, the more I realize that's an internalized belief. And they're running against Biden's policies when they should be running against him even being there. And if they're running against his policies, that means they accept his legitimacy. If they accept his legitimacy, that means they're not going to reform the election. And if they're not going to reform the election, then they're going to lose again. You see where I'm going with this?
Well,
it's like a chain reaction.
We already know they're not going to reform the election. We already know a lot of what they're doing is just all talk and no action. You know, thing is, with the Republicans in office,
mm-hmm.
They're the minority. Okay, fine. But you know what? If they would continue to keep this in the limelight, continue to stress and not say Biden shouldn't be in there. No, come up with the facts. Keep putting the facts out there, stating
mm-hmm.
what we know. That's all they have to do. But no, they don't want to. You know why? Because I don't think they really care who's in the White House. All they care about is themselves winning an election. And that's all they care. You know, they care about themselves. They don't care about their constituents. They don't care about what's a fair election or not. You got all these people talking. I mean, even like Wendy Rogers in Arizona. But what is she
mm-hmm.
really doing? It's just a lot of fluff. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lot of fluff. It's like we want people with due action. Action, action, action. Don't go around touting your own horn, making yourself look good because, oh, I'm here. No, we need to fix this. And not just keep talking about things. And
yeah,
I think if they keep bringing it up in the limelight, keep doing it. But no, I mean, they may say it once in a while, just like the January 6th, those people that are still in prison. You know, some of the people in Washington, they're trying to push for better rights. Keep bringing it up. You know, sooner or later, people cannot sooner or later they're going to have to take notice. But no, they use them as talking points too. Oh, look at me, to thump their chest. And do they really care? I don't know if they really care. I don't think so. I think it's their own agenda. They want to up their own agenda, and that's why they're doing it. And they're not doing it to help the people that really need the help, or they're not doing anything to really reform anything with the voting, even though there's still stuff going on in Wisconsin, which I'm not sure about. But it's just really sad, very sad. And as we watch our country, I don't want to say deteriorate, but that's kind of what it is. It's like things are happening in other countries, and what is Biden going to do about anything? He's clueless.
Yeah, I was just hearing reports today that Ukraine was so drastically overstated that it wasn't actually a buildup at all, that it was all an elaborate scheme to make Biden look tough against Russia, when in reality, he's totally caved to them and given them the Nord Stream oil pipeline at the exclusion of our own company. So he's totally sacrificed us, thrown us under the bus, as they say,
right.
and given all this. I mean, you want to talk about Russian collusion? You know, it's like when the Democrats talk about Russian collusion, they always exclude the fact that Hillary gave Russia 20% of our uranium, and now Biden's given Russia, you know, an entire pipeline to Europe.
Right.
You know, so that's right. A collusion. So everything happens backwards. But we'll get into this beliefs in a little bit. I want to focus more on that. I think you're absolutely right. But you know, if you say it, you believe it. I want to get into more. I want to get to your topics first, because I should probably do that first rather than start something, because every time I ask a question, it's usually unfortunately, it involves a lot. I mean, and apparently I never ask a simple question. I mean, let me play your theme and we'll be right back.
When all is falling apart around you, when people are looking to you for answers you don't have, when you need a calm, reassuring voice to settle your fragile nerves, well, you've come to the right place. The always serene and tranquil, reasoned and measured, stable and sedate Gene Drenig, producer of the Action Radio Citizen Legislature, takes a few minutes each week at this time to reflect on her favorite phrase, "Are you kidding me?" And now, Gene Drenig.
Greg,
I really
don't have a lot to say today, and some of the people are going to say, I can't believe you're wasting time talking about this, but I just want to say, if anybody questions Biden's competency as far as having one brain cell that's actually working in, I don't want to say positive, but in a maximum capacity, you just have to look at yesterday. Okay, and you can say what? Well, how long did they know in the D.C., Virginia area they were going to get snow? And up to 7 inches of snow. So what is it? I don't want to say idiot in chief, but that's exactly what I'm going to say. But I don't like to call people names, but that's exactly what I'm going to say. Because what does he do? They fly in on their presidential helicopter, whatever, plane. And did you see the news coverage? At least I saw a little bit. When he was fumbling going down the steps and how much it was snowing and they were having a hard time landing and all this other crap. Well, it's like, common sense, Biden, you're getting snow. You know, what were you doing that you couldn't come back Sunday night? You got the presidential plane. You can go wherever you want, whenever you want. You know, they closed down the airstrips wherever to allow you to get through. So it's like, really? And how far is Delaware from D.C.?
It's drivable.
Really? You're going to take a plane? I'm like, whatever. But when I saw that, it's like, yes, that explains it. That explains it. One clip, what he is. He has no common sense. No common sense.
Well, you know, it's funnier still. I think you're absolutely onto something. And the things, you know, I love talking about things that, you know, if you don't think it's important, you know, it could be absolutely critical. And so this is why I never mind trying a subject out. But I think the funniest thing was watching him come down the ramp of that airplane, almost tripping, almost falling. It's damn near a whiteout. Snow is blindingly being blown across the entire airport. And guess who's wearing a mask? You know, the doofus in chief.
Right.
What does he think? COVID's whipping by his face with the snow? COVID can't survive in that environment. It's hysterical.
And who's on that plane? You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, Jill, who's, oh my God. I was just like, when I saw that, I mean, you're putting the pilot's life in danger and all the other people's lives in danger because whoever's with him to keep him safe. Well, you know what? They have to start keeping him safe from himself.
Oh, I think that's been going on for quite some time.
He can't make good decisions. Well, then I don't know who allowed this to happen because, as I said, they could have left Sunday night when it wasn't snowing. Why did they wait until in the throes of the storm? And I say that because I used to live about 60 miles from there, 70 miles from there, and I've seen, and I know you can go a couple miles and be totally different, but I've seen photos of what it looks like where I was at, and we usually didn't get as much as they get towards D.C., so common sense is lacking. If you didn't know it, just look at that. But
Well, I mean, it goes along with this whole narrative. And like I say, what people believe and what people see and what they're feeling, people are starting to finally challenge the whole COVID and the vaccine narrative. You know, One American News had a report of 946,000 injuries and deaths so far. That's what they're reporting. I'm trying to find a source on that. But that's what Pearson Sharp is reporting. And now folks are finally listening to Robert Malone. And I didn't know we're the same age. It's kind of interesting. But he and I and Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, Joe Rogan's doing amazing things, and people are listening to it in the millions upon millions, you know, worldwide. And apparently there's a new Stop the Mandate DC rally I just heard about from that interview. And so that's January 23rd. So, of course, we're going to be that's something I'd love to be at. But certainly we'll be covering and talking about that and maybe get some of our D.C. folks to help us out with some live coverage of that. But things are happening. It's fascinating. But the propaganda is so unbelievable. I mean, it is so strong. Trying to find a source talking about Republicans, you know, who were against Biden, against his certification, those things have all been blacked out. It's fascinating. Anyway, just for fun, I thought I'd do what we haven't done, which we should do every day, which is Joe Biden's White House schedule. And so I've got they call it the fact-based website, Joe Biden. They call it President's Public Schedule. So for today, he has a he says he receives his daily brief. God knows the president needs more briefs. That is at 10:10, so he's got a leisurely morning. He's probably hasn't even been woken yet. I'm sure he has his breakfast at 8, his coddled egg and whatever else, you know, old people like Biden eat for breakfast. Then they've got the in-town pool call time. I have no idea what that is. I guess that's the White House press people. Then it says at 2 o'clock. So this is first event at 10. The second event's at 2, long lunch. Maybe he has his nappy poo. Anyway, the president and vice president meet with members of the White House COVID-19 response team on the latest developments related to the Omicron variant, which we all know as a cold. At least that's what it was for me. So, in fact, I'm still, you know, it's a coin flip whether I had Omicron or whether I had a cold. Either way, I seem to get it first. You know, it's like I had COVID, I believe, in January of 2020, 2 years ago, before anybody knew what it was. And here I am with this ridiculous cough. It was like 2 weeks long. I was begging people to fill in for me because I really sounded like crap. You know, it was funny. And then I get my little hospital check, and then I come back with what I think is Omicron. But I don't know. I mean, it could be a cold, you know, or it could be Omicron. But I think it was Omicron because it seemed to fit exactly. It was a weird cough again. So I tend to link weird coughs with COVID. So I seem to get these things first, and then I'm fine. Everybody else gets sick, and all the news is like, hey, I've already had it. No problem. I'm good. Anyway, so that's it, too. And then, of course, the press briefing by Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who was supposed to have gone by now. I know she's still there. And no one's questioned the fact that she said she was leaving and that she's still there. Another interesting thing. So Biden, the occupant of the White House, has actually two activities. One, he has a briefing where he gets to sit and listen. And one, he has the meeting where, again, he gets to sit and listen to what's going on with the Omicron variant, which we all know is a mild cold and no big deal. And so ends the presidential briefing for today, Tuesday, January 4th. You want to hear yesterday?
Well, there should have been nothing because he didn't get back into the White House till later. So I'm sure he made some phone calls. But yeah, so let's hear yesterday.
Yeah, well, here's what happened. So it's the out-of-town pool call time. I guess that's when the press can sort of check in. I got to find out what that means. Anyway, 7:15 yesterday, there was an out-of-town pool call time. 8:55 a.m., the president, well, that's what they're calling him, Biden departs Newcastle, Delaware, en route to Joint Base Andrews. So he drove to Andrews Air Force Base and then took a helicopter to the White House. Is this how this works? Anyway, so that was at 8:55. And then he arrived at Joint Base Andrews at 9:45. So there's a 50-minute drive, you know, from his house to Andrews, and then he arrived at the White House at 10:20. Oh, here we go. Then they got the Daily Brief at 11:10. There's his first actual business of the day, 11:10, yesterday. Oh, here we go. Then 1:30. This is actually funny. The president meets virtually. In other words, they weren't there, with family and independent farmers and ranchers to discuss his administration's work to boost competition and reduce prices in the meat processing industry. The Attorney General and the Secretary of Agriculture also attend. Now, what would the Attorney General have to do with meat processing? See if you can figure that one out, because I have no clue. What would the Attorney General be doing? I mean, I understand the Secretary of Agriculture. What's the Attorney General doing? What, prosecuting for meat packers for price gouging? Why would the Attorney General be there? Don't they have better things to do, like arrest the parents at school board meetings? You know, designate loyal American citizens as terrorists? I mean, he's got work to do.
Yeah,
what's he doing at a meat? What's he doing in a meat packing meeting? I don't. But did you hear that? It's like the. Go ahead. What do you
because,
think?
Well, that makes sense because the Attorney General hasn't been doing anything that he should be doing. It's all things that he should not be doing. He's sticking his nose into things that he should not be sticking his nose into.
Yeah, but, you know, the guy in the White House could easily tell the Attorney General to stick his nose somewhere else.
The guy in the White House can't tell anybody to do anything.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You
who
know,
runs
I heard
the Attorney General?
Yeah, I don't respect him either. You know, I think all these people have some connection. They only got their job not on their skills, not on their merit, but on how they toe the line. And that's what I believe.
Yeah, loyalty. But, loyalty to the Communist Party. That's how dictatorships work. Qualifications are irrelevant. It's loyalty. That's what they value.
Or the person running the show
is
not going to say anything.
Yeah. Well, I still, you know, in the nearest I can figure, it's still Obama runs the foreign policy and Hillary Clinton runs the domestic policy. And the various advisors under them immediately would be Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, and various other twiddlies, the Emanuel brothers, Rahm and Ezekiel, and any of the really high up people that from the Obama, you know, he actually had administration. He was elected, maybe fraudulently, but at least, you know, a lot better than being installed. Point being, I mean, this is daily proof that he's not doing anything. He's just sitting there. He's making appearances. He's not actually directing anything. He's not calling for anything, which is good because he shouldn't be there anyway. But I just find it interesting that no one's calling him on the fact that he's not calling for anything, that he's not making any major policy decisions or speeches. And shouldn't we have a State of the Union at some point here coming
oh,
up
God,
pretty soon?
Please don't bring that up. No. Oh, my God. He can't even get a coherent thought out when he's trying to talk to the public and he's reading it. I mean, oh, my God. No, I mean, oh, boy.
Well, who's going to write it then? I mean, which propaganda? Who's the minister of propaganda for the Biden interaction?
I think Jill will have some say in it. And then I think it's your who you just said, the people running the show.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I don't care. I still don't want to hear him even talk about it because, you know, Doc, I mean, Greg, every time he opens his mouth almost, he contradicts what he says before. Mm-hmm. Or he says something, and when he says it, whatever he says, you know the darn opposite is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he don't keep his word.
I'm just thinking.
You know, how many times has he changed his story on COVID? Oh, you know, there's not going to be lockups. There's not going to be mask mandates or vaccine mandates. And what's going on with him? Total opposite. He don't want to know the truth. He never in his life followed the truth or followed the law.
Yeah.
He's got, I don't know, in his younger years, if he has such a big ego or if he truly is a person that just looks out for himself and will do anything to get ahead at everybody else's cost.
Well, there's a video you can look up where he says he's a political prostitute. He actually said that in his younger days.
He's
open to... Yeah.
And I can't believe the people in Delaware kept voting him back in. I mean, oh, my God. He wasn't a nice person back then. If you talk about moral ethics, mm-hmm. you could say, oh, he had such a horrible thing with his wife getting killed in that car accident. Yes, I know it's horrible. There's a lot of theories out on that, too, what happened. And about him and Jill and what happened there. And we don't know because, I mean, they're the only ones that know because they're the only ones that were involved. you know, at that time. But it's
didn't
it's
she work
like,
for them, or was she the kid's
well,
babysitter or something? Or what was her?
So many things that him, her, and her ex-husband met Biden, and then they started doing things together, and then other sources say no, they never did that. She didn't know Biden before his wife was killed. That you know, so I really don't know the truth because
you can investigate
get,
it.
I've investigated it, and there's so many different things. This article says this. This article says that. It's like, yeah. And the thing is, what goes out to me is cover up. Everything Biden does, it's like, you can't get the truth. Look at his stuff when he was vice president before that, and everything when he was in politics even before vice president. That's how locked up in the University of Delaware. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? What? I guess he don't have to build
secret.
He doesn't have to build a presidential library because all his stuff is under lock and key.
I was just thinking about that this morning. He's going to have the smallest library in presidential history because he's never written anything. He's never done anything. I mean, you know, I personally have written more bills, and certainly Action Radio has as a whole, than he ever has in his 50 years in the legislature.
And you've done a lot more positive stuff than he has done. What has he done? Nothing positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
do you know
crazy.
Any Biden initiatives? Think of one. Think of the Biden Act and what comes to mind. Nothing. There
you
is
know,
no
the
Biden
thing
Act.
That comes to, the thing that comes to mind is I feel like I'm being suffocated because he kills everything that is positive. He squashes it.
Well, isn't that the nature of totalitarian governments, that they're all negative? You know, you look at the components of totalitarian – let me see if I can pull this up real quickly. The components of what makes a totalitarian government and then the points of resistance. I wrote those down from what Peter McCullough said and what we had – let me see. I just put all my stuff. I should have this more prominently out there. Where did I put it? And I just moved it just recently. Oh, this is crazy. Four components of mass psychosis. Here we go. A little cheery topic for this morning. First of all, you have the prolonged isolation. And that's where we had the lockdowns and things like that. He's actually in isolation, too. I mean, he's completely surrounded by people that have blocked him off from everything. He doesn't even know his own policies. He doesn't even know what he's saying, what's going on out there. There's something recently that he didn't even know about. You know? Remember when he said, let's go, Brandon? He didn't even know that means F-U, Biden. He had no clue.
No, you can't be serious.
So he didn't know. You didn't hear him say that?
No, I didn't. I heard him say, let's go Brandon, but I didn't realize he didn't know what it meant. I figured
Jill would have educated
him on that.
Yeah, Jill looked horrified. It was really funny. So this guy calls in. It's a Colorado, I've forgotten what he was, truck driver or something like that, or educator, whatever it is. He calls in, and he's doing some kind of report. And he's got a direct call to the White House. I think, it was either a Christmas or one of the holiday. I think it was Christmas. Called in as a Christmas call, and the last thing he said was, "Yeah, let's go, Brandon." And Biden says, "Yeah, let's go, Brandon. I agree. Yeah, great." And Jill looks horrified. This is live, right? And so it went out there, and of course now he's being persecuted, prosecuted, and the left hates him and everything else. Yeah. So anyway,
he's running for office.
I hope so. I'd vote for him.
The guy that said that is running for office, because they said there was some mix-up the guy was talking out of both sides of his mouth. Supposedly he wasn't for Trump, and then he goes after he says that and then goes after the fact and just, then he talks about Trump. You know,
there's a guy in Arizona like that.
You know,
a guy in Arizona
who
lied.
But, anyway, who knows? But I've heard him be in an interview in a couple other places, and you know, he was talking like he was a conservative and a Trump person then. So I don't know, but I saw that, and I was just like, that is really weird that he would say, "Let's go, Brandon." But that makes sense that he didn't know what it meant.
Hadn't a clue. No, you could tell he didn't. Because if he did know what it means, he wouldn't have said it. He would have cut off the phone.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And they would have cut that off ahead of time.
Uh-huh. But it was live. Of course, it's live, it's recorded. Once it's recorded, you know, I'm sure they tried to delete the record of it everywhere. But, you know, once it's out there, a lot of things are, you know, they're captured. It's really kind of funny. Anyway, the point of this whole exercise of talking about isolation and what dictators do and why they want everybody so miserable is that's part of the deal. You take away things people used to enjoy. You isolate them. You have continued anxiety, which is all the propaganda out there. And then you offer a single solution. And, of course, that is vaccines. We'll cure everything, and the government is the source of all that. And if you don't know what the government says, you're not going to get your vaccine. You're not going to get your cure. So it's really we live in a very interesting a time as far as that goes. Okay, let me bring all my things back up again. So I'll keep that screen handy because I need it. But I want to get – first of all, do you have more things that or any other issues that you wanted to talk about? Anything in the news or just in your mind?
I just want to say, I guess I know where you were at yesterday. You were in Miami because AOC was there. So
I figured
whenever she was there this weekend, partying it up without a mask. And there that's all over the news as far as she was there without a mask, and yet she goes to Washington, D.C. and New York, and she's masked up and like, you know, COVID. A dictator, you know, so it's ironic. You go to Florida, what, you guys don't have COVID down there like Florida? It's not as catchable or as contagious or whatever as it is more northern?
Yeah, well, they just keep proving that COVID's a power trip. I mean, that's all it is. It's all it's ever been. COVID's a power trip. COVID's an excuse for dictator Democrats and some Republicans to exercise control that they could never exercise legally otherwise. And it's not even legal to do it, but they're getting away with it because people are afraid. When people are afraid, they fall under mass psychosis. And when they fall under mass psychosis, they'll do anything. So I want to get you an article here. I'm going to sort of get back to our theme of the fact that, in the title of the show today, GOP who say President Biden can't win Congress back. I want to get, you know, there's a... What is it in psychology? And like I said, you don't have to be an expert on this. I'm certainly not, but I like to speculate on these things anyway. That's part of the fun of being of having your own show, is you get to, you know, touch on topics and try things out. But if you say President Biden, you're implying that he's legitimate. And the GOP, you know, there's 147 members who voted against certification and 147 representatives and 12 senators that voted against certification. They were challenging the election legitimately and constitutionally. They were challenging the fact that seven states sent Trump and Biden electors. The Trump electors came from the state legislatures, and the Biden electors came from the governors and secretaries of state. Well, the state legislatures are in charge, so the Congress could not accept the governor and secretary of state elector simply because, you know, that's not legal. And yet that's what they did. And what they had said was those legitimate votes, the Trump votes, are not the legitimate votes, which of course they are, and then turned that around to say that Trump, you know, and these other people are challenging, are trying to overturn the election when they're actually trying to certify the correct election. And now it's even worse than that. And here's the latest tactic. It's kind of fascinating that they're saying that those who voted against Biden are actually insurrectionists. And because of the 14th Amendment, this guy actually said this third clause of the 14th Amendment, being insurrectionist, they can't run for office. So not only did they try to impeach Trump after he was out of office so that he couldn't run again, now they're trying to get rid of these people in Congress so they can't run again either, you know, by calling him insurrectionist. So this is the new strategy of the Democrats, is to remove the opposition from office, which I find fascinating. I don't think it's going to get anywhere, but enough people are going to believe it. It's going to be a talking point for a long time.
Well,
so if they,
you know what
if
I
they
think?
Say it, yeah, go ahead.
Then I think those that voted for Trump need to start speaking up and say, hey, this is what our state or these states, this is who decides, who the electors go to, whatever. And this is who decided in this last election. So let's say who's the insurrectionist? It's the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say they're on it.
You know, they need to start speaking up and telling people what's really going on. But they're like, they put their head under the sand, thinking that, well, maybe if they keep it there long enough, all this will blow over and life will be good. But you know what? It's not going to happen. It's not, because the Democrats know how to win. And even if they have to cheat to win, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
it's not even
winning.
The Democrats. It's the people. It's the people that don't like an outcome. It's the people that don't like someone. Look at Liz Cheney. You know what I mean? And some of the crap she's done. And it's like, I mean, her political career is gone. But as soon as she's out, oh, we'll see her at MSNBC or CNN, and she's going to be the new poster child.
Yeah, interesting. I was just thinking of something with what's going on in Congress that maybe this could be turned around, because the real insurrectionists are the people that put Brandon in the White House. Anyway, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or any other state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support the Constitution of the United States, here we go, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Well, this is really interesting. Okay? So anybody who swore an oath to the Constitution, all right, who has engaged in insurrection, well, is not what happened with the FBI and BLM. And Antifa and the Capitol Hill police and the D.C. police, an organized insurrection to stop a constitutional challenge by the folks that wanted to actually appoint certify the Trump electors. Was that not the blocking of that process, the actual insurrection? And are those people the ones who should be barred from running again? And why aren't the Republicans talking about that?
Well, and that's exactly how it should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or rebellion. Or here's the other one. Or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Well, the enemies of the Constitution and the enemies of the United States are all these people that are crossing the border illegally. That is an invasion, which comes at the Article 4, Section 4, that we're prevented from, this is very clearly that we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. And let me just get this last little thing. Constitution actually has a lot of good stuff in it. I forget how much good stuff there is because it's hard to memorize all of it. Yeah, here we go. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government. You know, that's not a democracy, folks. And shall protect each of them against invasion. Well, that's not happening. And on application of the legislature or executive, when legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. Well, that's not happening either. So in so many ways, you know, this coup is going against stuff. But again, who's going to start holding these people accountable? Where is the GOP? I don't think they want to be winners. I don't think they're going to, if they win 2022, they're not going to do anything.
They like to be victims.
Yeah.
They like to be victims. They like to say, well, with me, everything always goes, always goes to someone else. If we never get ahead, we never whatever, we're never going to be. And you know what? I don't want to talk about being a power, but right now with what's going on, it's like if they have any that have any kahunas, they would be doing, they could be able to change this and turn this around. Because you know why? It's like all they have to do is get the truth out there. Constantly say the truth. Because the truth is powerful. And sooner or later, you can have all these people come up and say, oh, no, that's not true, da-da-da-da-da. And if it is truthful, all they have to do is continue to say it and show the facts. Continue to say it and show the facts. And there's nobody wanting to do that.
No, in fact, I've mentioned this several times. I've even written, members of Congress. What they really need to do is the daily election correction report. There should be a daily report every day on the current status of election corrections, of audits, of voter machine analysis, of vote counts, of dead people voting and all the other different things and all these things they find every day. And it should be national news every day. If they believed that they were winners, that's what they would do. But they don't. They keep saying, and I really think it comes back to, this is why they're all saying Biden administration and President Biden, because quite honestly, they've accepted the belief that he really is the president. And therefore, there's no need to challenge anything. And by saying it is believing it. I think it's a conditioning thing.
Right,
I got this great article. I got this great article on the psychology of belief I'll get into in just a bit. Totally unrelated to politics, but fascinating nonetheless, and I'm going to relate it to it, just like we relate mass psychosis. This is part of mass psychosis. This is the early phases of it and how this comes about. But they're never going to win. They could have had the majority in the Senate because they have 50 senators and the Democrats have 48. All they had to do was change the rules and say, if you're an independent, you're not a member of a party. And they had the votes to do it. They had 50 votes to the Democrats, 48. And you say the independents can't vote. They could have done that, and they could have the Senate majority right now, but they didn't want to because they're losers. All those House seats that could have been challenged, that the Democrats won in the wee hours of the morning, that were stolen, they could have challenged those, but they didn't. Why? Because they want to be losers. And people wonder why I am registered as a Republican. This is why. I'm not going to be in a party of losers. You know, I'd rather be independent. Show me some winners. Anyway, so we need independent people to run. People independent of both parties is really the answer. Anyway, I found this article. I'm curious your reaction. It's Kate Morgan, February 5th, 2019, called The Psychology Belief. And it's in this magazine called, or a website called Forge, F-O-R-G-E, which says I have only two free articles left this month. Well, considering I just found this website, I'll probably be okay. Anyway, it says how your brain distorts the world to support your emotional attachments to certain ideas. I think you're going to find this fascinating. So I want to plow through this before Shelby gets here. She might find this fascinating too. I wish she'd listened to the first half, but I know it's early. Anyway, Kate Morgan says, belief is a powerful and necessary thing. Governing our societies, our day-to-day and inner lives, our thoughts, hopes, plans, and relationships. You believe right. that the plane will leave the runway, that hard work will lead to a promotion, that the candidate you support is the best one for the job. Oh, that's hysterical. Again, this is written in 2019. Some things you believe in, you believe because a pattern of experience suggests you should. The sun has come up every morning so far, so why should tomorrow be any different? But other things you believe, even despite logic and evidence to the contrary, the next lottery ticket you buy will be the big one. You can feel it. Okay, so that's true. So we're going to get down to that topic. But here's something interesting. You know, the things you believe, despite logic and evidence to the contrary. You know, COVID vaccines will save you. They'll prevent COVID. You know, you'll stay out of the hospital. You'll save everybody else from getting it. I mean, that's reinforced over and over again. Yet empirical evidence has shown just the opposite. I've got articles that say for every person saved by a COVID vaccine, two people are killed. I don't know how they came up with that, but that's what they're talking about. COVID, One American News just announced 946,000. That's almost a million injuries and deaths from the COVID vaccine. And yet, people really want to latch onto the belief that this is wonderful. Dr. Fascist, you know, he's like God fascist. Oh, please save me from the dreaded, you know, Omicron variant, which is like a cold. But we should start calling it the Omicron cold. It would make more sense. And yet people, you know, believe despite logic and evidence to the contrary. You know, the logic and evidence is that Brandon lost. You look at any measure of when when Trump was ahead on November 3rd, when the count stopped, when the Republican observers were kicked out, when the truckloads of votes were brought in, when the votes came up from under the suitcases from under the desks, when the same votes were counted, you know, 100 times. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming that it's a completely fraudulent election. And yet people want to believe that Trump's evil, that he's, you know, the redheaded monster, that he's a Nazi, you know, despite the fact that the Nazis are all leftists. Empirical evidence. So here's just a general question. You know, from your experience, life coach, health professions, you know, all the different things, you know, people you've talked to, do you see this disconnect between logic and evidence and belief being stronger, which gets to my thing, assumptions are stronger than truth. This is what I've been saying for ever since the show started. Do you see that?
Yeah, definitely. Why? Because beliefs hold us back. Why do they hold us back? We have a belief. It could be, I mean, I could have a belief that the world is square or flat. The world is flat. Right. Where do most people get their beliefs from? From when they're younger. Could be from family, where they, you know, just people they grew up with. It could just be something they read, whatever. But they're formed at a young age, you know, mm-hmm. And regardless if they're right, wrong, whatever. It's not until we get older that we sometimes find out that what we were believing all along, like hard work pays off. Well,
maybe yes, maybe
no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of hardworking people out there, you know.
The thing is, we have these beliefs. No matter what it is, it could be that if you eat green vegetables, you know, it's not healthy. Whatever, does that matter? But so and a lot of times we don't even really know how deep they are or what the belief is until you really delve into, you know, why things are going on in your life and trying to pinpoint just different things. And so that makes sense that, you know, people believe that what they're told here, because why? We're under the assumption that, well, elections aren't rigged. No, mm-hmm. Elections are fair, you know, and it's like, we live in the United States. Every vote counts. You know, that's a belief. It's like
real
when
or
someone
imagined.
Says, oh, you know.
Manufactured or, yeah. Yeah, and I think the Democrats have figured this out, or at least figured it out a long time ago. Certainly the leftists, the communists have. Any totalitarian government figures out that beliefs, if you can control the beliefs, you can control the people much more so than if you control the actual logic and evidence. And I've always said logic, evidence, and reason are what we do here and what we base our decisions on. You know, so it doesn't matter if an expert says one thing. That doesn't count unless that expert happens to be right. I mean, they call Neil Ferguson an expert. He predicted 2 million people would die in the United States because of COVID, and Trump believed that, unfortunately. And he also predicted that the seas would rise, 20 feet because of global warming? You know, if that were the case, Obama wouldn't have bought his beachfront property in Martha's Vineyard. So obviously he didn't believe it, even though he parrots the line because he wants other people to believe it because it's useful to the government. So control of information really, it's not control of the information, it's really control of the beliefs and control of the assumptions. And this is a whole new area for us to explore. I need to get my Facebook page back up again.
I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Well, that's what the whole mask thing is about. See, all these people know that masks don't work. All the left has known masks don't work. So what masks really – here's a great one. I have to read this article, Dueling, Time to Bring It Back. I've actually said that. I might do a show on the virtues of dueling as opposed to lawyers. But anyway, I'll have to look that one up. So I found something just searching. Facebook is great for you know, it's funny how things pop up that you don't expect. So I found this thing. Let me see if I scroll down to it here. Scroll. Common logical fallacies everyone should know. This might be a good time to read it. I didn't even think I would use this on the show, but it seems to make sense. So when you're arguing with people who don't understand logic and reason and just make stuff up, like our liberal callers of the past, these are 10 things that people do in an argument that's totally fallacious. One, ad hominem. It occurs when someone attacks directly the person making an argument rather than criticizing the argument itself. We can't believe Trump. He's a racist, right? Ad hominem. You know, Action Radio, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not experts. Ad hominem. Well, do you know more than the Supreme Court? I got that question from Margaret the Liberal. Well, it depends on the issue, you know. And are you really saying that I can't question the Supreme Court, which is really what they're saying? So it's a question that's actually an answer. Ad hominem attack. It can be a question or it can be an answer. Here's another one. Straw man. When someone attacks a distorted version of the original argument that they themselves created. You know, and my favorite one is when the left says, so what you're saying is, in other words, let me totally rephrase your argument in a way that benefits me so I can argue against it. Have you heard that before? You must have.
Yes.
Ad hominem, straw man arguments. Yeah, I get that all the time. So what you're saying is that, you know, and it fill in the blank. Here's another one. Appeal to authority is something I just mentioned. Asserting that someone must be or something must be true because it's backed up by someone who is allegedly an authority on the subject. In other words, if Fauci says it, it must be in the public interest because he knows what science is, right? Well, it's a bunch of BS. The guy's not even a microbiologist, hardly, you know, certainly not a virologist, nor an epidemiologist. And people that are virologists, microbiologists, and epidemiologists say the guy's full of crap. But yet he's the authority. Here's another one, slippery slope. Taking an argument from the first sensible premise to an undesirable or extreme conclusion via a number of hastily connected steps. You know, and I've heard this all the time. Well, if this is true, then this must be true too. You know, and my favorite one on that is, well, if a butterfly lands on a mailbox, you know, and two cars crash right in front of you, then butterflies cause car accidents. What? You know, how'd you get that leap? Well, people will leap to all kinds of things. If we just ban all the guns, we'll save lives. Oh, really? How'd you get there? Well, it's not a real. There are better examples than that. Another one here, number five, bandwagon. The bandwagon fallacy occurs when someone is said to be true, or something is said to be. This is really small print on this one. Something is said to be true or good simply because it is popular. Oh, there you go. Shelby says this all the time. Well, most people believe that the vaccine's good, therefore it's good. Well, that's not an argument. I love Shelby, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But I hear this kind of stuff. You know, it's like if it's popular, it must be right. If the majority of people think it's a good idea, then it's a good idea. Well, that's nonsense. If I'm the only person in the world saying that the vaccines are, you know, dangerous, doesn't make me wrong. You know, and so there's another one. Here's another one. Appeal to ignorance. You can stop me anytime, Gene, if you want to comment on any of these. Appeal to ignorance, number six. When it is said that an argument must be true if it cannot be proven false, or false if it cannot be proven true. Well, that's not true. Here's another one. False dilemma. This occurs when two choices are presented as the only possible options when, in fact, other alternatives exist. Well, you better take the vaccine or you're going to die. What? Why don't we just kill the virus? This was my initial argument back in February of 2020 when I wrote that bill saying that Congress has to spend half their money killing the virus, you know, only half on vaccines, because it doesn't make sense to me to try and, you know, prevent something that's already here. that has a 10-year lag time. In other words, creating a vaccine. So they create a false dilemma. Well, this is your only choice. Really? Hasty generalization number 8. This logical fallacy happens when a general conclusion is drawn based on a sample size that is too small. In another one, red herring. This occurs when someone deliberately attempts to move the issue under discussion to a new irrelevant topic. And the last one, appeal to tradition. When one claims that something must be good or true because it has been practiced for a long time. All right, precedent. There's a legal precedent. Well, we have to follow legal precedent. Why? Well, because this precedent's already been set. Well, what if it's wrong? You know, and I like I say, I just find these fascinating. But the biggest one is the ad hominem and the straw man and the appeal to authority. Well, actually, they're all good. Do you see the logic in these different arguments? Bring Gene back in.
Yeah, well, the thing is that's what a belief is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's crazy, but that's what it is.
Yeah. I'll get back to the article in a second here. I want to let folks know that live chat is open. So if you want to get yourself a free account on our broadcast page, it'll say a live chat. Gene, you should tell me where that is. If you get a chance to go to a regular broadcast page. I want to find out where this is. I hesitate to do it. I don't want to like ruin the screen. Well, I guess we could do it. We'll have to find out where that is. Well, let's do it right now. Let's find out where the version here. Let me pull up my episode live. There might be an echo by doing this. Let's go into this regular Action Radio site. And let's see if I can find where it is. All right, there we go. There's the current episode. Today's the 4th. Let's check on this live. So where does it say live chat? Oh, on air. I'm actually watching myself on air. We got direct connect. Oh, here's something interesting, too. Actually, people – oh, there's where it is. Yeah, people can direct connect with us now if they have a microphone. Where's the live chat portion of it? Oh, there's live chat. All right, scroll to the bottom of the page. That's where you'll find it. And it says sign in to live chat with host. So before you get to the comments – for today's show. So just go to the bottom of the page and it says live chat. That's where it is. The other thing you might want to do is call on the Skype line. The Skype line is open. And so you go to the broadcast page, open my notes, and you'll find the Skype line. Okay. I don't want to take a break. Well, let me play a couple things real quick. And then we'll get back to beliefs because I don't know how much time before Shelby joins us. So let me do a couple things here real quick. And if you want to do the live chat, you want to do anything else, call in on Skype. Feel free, and I'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it. This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16-ounce glass.
to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines.
I love that ad simply because I had a cold when I made it and my voice was perfect. Anyway, more news. Here at Action Radio, we are looking for sponsors. We have 30 and 60-second spots available for your announcements. And we have 3-minute live call-ins to talk about your products and services available. Action Radio is the next evolution beyond talk radio. Join us and let us help your business evolve. Think about being a sponsor of the future and not just a listener, and help us help your business grow as you help us plunge headlong into breaking new ground here on Action Radio every day.
Radio. Dangerously cool.
And for those who might be interested, we have a group called the Action Radio Mind Project, because I am continually fascinated with how the human brain works, with emotions, with especially concerned with political persuasion, propaganda, you know, things that most people believe that aren't true. Or how they can make you believe stuff, and just the what's going on now with the incredible censorship, the drawing of information, the withholding of medical treatment, the very strange place we find ourselves in this high tech dictatorship. It's a new phenomenon where we're sort of, you know, playing catch up to try and deal with it. But the most important thing is to realize that you do have a brain, that you can sift through the evidence, that you can use logic and you can use reason to come to your own conclusions. You're not dependent on the conclusions that are given to you based on flawed logic, based on faulty evidence, and based on conditioning your brain to believe what the powers that be want you to believe. And so that's a huge part of this show. Is getting you to a point where you make your own decisions, and then when you can make your own decisions, you know, realize that you have the power to actually write your own legislation. And that's when people start coming up with ideas. And a huge part of the show also is going to be is having, you know, you, the general public, realize that your ideas have value, that your thoughts have value, that this idea that you have to be an expert to say anything. You know, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, well, don't you need a lawyer to approve these bills before you send them to Congress? No, currently it's not illegal to send bills to Congress. I mean, big pharma, you know, big corporations, big agriculture, Archer Daniels Midland, Apple, you know, pick the company, pick the military defense contractor, Boeing, you know, they send bills to Congress all the time for special interest stuff, you know, and they have lawyers write it because, you know, that they want to have the legalese, you know, trickery in there. But the bills that we write, you know, as regular citizens are so straightforward, so direct, so honest and open. We don't need lawyers. I mean, lawyers are going to look at it anyway. I mean, you know, Congress has lawyers. The committees where the bills will be taken up, they have lawyers. You know, the state legislatures, you know, they have committees too, and those committees have lawyers. You know, so the idea that lawyers aren't going to look at this is insane. I'll tell you who's really going to look at it are the lawyers of the companies that we're trying to regulate again, like our bill to put full, you know, product liability back on vaccine manufacturers. Is that legal? Of course it is, because every other industry has product liability. So the idea that vaccine manufacturers are exempt is a special interest that it took lawyers to create. So I think in many respects, it takes us regular folks to, you know, put back an honest, straightforward system that anybody can understand. I mean, the whole point of laws, if laws aren't understandable, then they're of no use to you. If laws are written by lawyers to be overly complex so that you can't understand and can't use them, then that doesn't help you. You know, and so those are the laws that need to be changed. So anybody can write a law in common English. You just need to find, you know, where it is in the law to, you know, either amend, delete, replace, add, you know, language that creates a new law. And none of that process requires lawyers, which is quite fascinating. But that's one of those held, those beliefs that people are hanging on to, that only lawyers can understand the law. Well, that's insane, because the law applies to everybody. So if only lawyers could understand it, that's irrational, because you've only got one select group understanding it. And if they're the only ones who understand it, they have all the power to implement it. Well, you don't want that. You know, that's why most politicians, you know, legislators are lawyers, because they think that they have the power. They can force all these things upon us. And what I'm saying is, no, they can't. We can rewrite the laws to make ourselves more free to control the government and control the special interests. So we reverse the process of the special interests buying legislation and then sending it to we the people. So in other words, we the people write the laws that we consent to be governed by, send them to the legislature and say, hey, you know, we want you to consider this. And depending on what they do, we can elect or not elect them. You know, it's the way it's supposed to work. Anyway, but you have to change your beliefs. You have to believe that you as a person have value, that your brain has value, that your thoughts have value, that your wishes have value. And you have to believe that you can write a bill that might end up on the president's desk, the real one, not the current occupant. And once you believe that, you can do anything. Okay. Now, are all your bills going to be good? No. All my bills aren't good. I got a second version out already of my bill to change Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to prevent big tech censorship. Why? Because the first one wasn't good enough. So I wrote a second one. Okay. Our bills are constantly being amended. This is an ongoing process. So have a little faith in yourself that through logic and reason, you can come to much better conclusions than the conclusions that are given to you for people that have a specific interest. You know, especially when it comes to, you know, having you, you know, and your government officials pay for, you know, through your taxes for billions upon billions upon billions of dollars for so-called vaccines that aren't vaccines, for COVID that's really, you know, kind of a flu bug, for things that you could easily cure with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, you know, rest, vitamin D3, simple things like that. So let's get, you know, we're not going to save ourselves until we have the strength of our own beliefs. And believe in the logic and reason of our own brains to figure things out. That's really what we need to do, and that's really what the show is about today. And why the Republicans, by saying Biden administration, will never serve the people. Not at all. Wow, that's a pretty interesting rant. Gene, you want to comment on that before I get back into the article here?
No, you can continue.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, this is probably best to let me go sometimes. All right. I'm going to skip down a little bit in this article here. It's by Kate Morgan. And it's talking about beliefs. And it's the psychology of belief, February 5th, 2019, in this website called Forge, F-O-R-G-E. So I'm going to skip down to the study, otherwise we'll never get through it. And it says, in a study published in 2016 in Scientific Reports, Kaplan and his colleagues, and Kaplan, let me see if I can identify Kaplan. Kaplan is someone who's identified up higher. Who's Kaplan? All right. Here we go. To become aware of our biases, we need to understand how our emotions play a role in our decision-making and belief process. Jonas Kaplan, professor of psychology at USC, that's the University of Southern California, Brain and Creativity Institute. Oh, Gene, we got to contact these folks. Brain and Creativity Institute? We've got to figure out who they are. I can write that down. Brain and have you ever heard of that place?
No.
Brain and Creativity. I'm just writing down here. Don't mind me. Creativity Institute, and they're in USC. Okay, so now you know who he is. Now I can go back to my article. In a study published in 2016, Kaplan and his colleagues conducted brain imaging on participants as they read arguments that contradicted their views on issues, both political and non-political, and documented their neurological response to the opposing information. This is going to be great. The results of the team's persuasive efforts were mixed. It says, quote, we were able to change minds about things like whether Thomas Edison invented the light bulb and if multivitamins are important, he says. But other beliefs, those Kaplan calls the sacred values, in quotations, were all but immovable. So this, now we've got to figure out what are people's secret values. Anyway, it says the reason so-called sacred values are so difficult to change is that they're surrounded by a complex network of mental safeguards. Deeply held beliefs are challenged, quote, many of the most biologically basic brain systems, those responsible for protecting us, kick into high gear. Kaplan said these are things like the amygdala, am I pronouncing that right? Amygdala.
Yes, yes.
Which tells you when you're afraid, and the insula, I've heard of the amygdala, even though I can't pronounce it, tells you when you're afraid. And the insula, I've never heard of that, the part of your brain that processes visceral feelings from the gut and tells you things like you're encountering food that's bad for you. We have a strong motivation to defend those sacred values. Well, that's interesting. He says, of course, not every belief is sacred. So what determines the strength of our convictions and sets the ones worth protecting apart from the rest? Most of the time, it's tied to our emotions. See, this is what propagandists all understand. If they can change your sacred beliefs, they can control everything you do and everything you think. And then you can get it. And from there, it leads to mass psychosis. So we actually did this backwards. We should have started with beliefs and emotions and then led that to collective beliefs and emotions, which leads to mass psychosis. That's what we're suffering under now, as reported by both Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough in those two incredible interviews with Joe Rogan. They're 3 hours each, but I highly, highly, highly recommend everybody listen to those two interviews. By the way, I'm going to try and get on Joe Rogan's show myself. Hey, Gene, can you imagine that? 60 million people listening to hearing what Action Radio is for the first time? I mean, think of the possibilities.
Yeah, that would
right?
be good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a project. That's a New Year's revolution. All right, I'll get there. It's just a matter of time. We'll get there anyway. All right. Of course, you folks feel free to share the show too. I mean, don't count on Joe Rogan. It's going to be a bit. All right. So the article says, of course, not every belief is sacred. So what determines the strength of our convictions and sets the ones worth protecting apart from the rest? Most of the time, it's tied to our emotions. Okay, I already read that. He says, when you establish your beliefs, if they include emotional tags, the brain saves that information differently so it's more accessible and impactful. And this is Zach. This is another one of these guys, another of these professors. He says, the strongest beliefs are tied to things like 9/11 or the birth of a child. Only emotional events create beliefs that are almost impossible to change. So much of our identity is social, and so many of our social connections are founded on shared beliefs. Ultimately, Kaplan says most people find it simpler to maintain both their established beliefs and their social circle than to consider a drastic value shift for reasons that are as practical as they are mental. And Shelby's on the line, too, and I think Shelby's going to find this fascinating because there's a collective belief that she talks about all the time in terms of COVID. And vaccinations. And most people feel that, you know, this is the right thing to do, even though I would say overwhelming evidence proves to the contrary. But those are established beliefs, and they've been based on emotions. And Shelby, this is a great article. I'll tell you about it in a bit. Anyway, it's another quote here. People say, I can't change my mind. What would my friends think of me? Well, that's interesting. People who radically change their political beliefs, for instance, lose a lot. Social relationships, jobs, romantic partners. It says there's a lot at stake when you're considering changing a belief. All right. We've got just a little bit more of this article. It says, our tendency to cling to our beliefs may feel better than the alternative, but that doesn't mean it is in our best interest. Our primary self-defense tactic is to remove the threat and avoid anything that might challenge our worldview, which is how so many of us end up living in a feedback loop surrounded by people who share the same opinions. Well, you could say that for all sides of a political argument. The effect is only exacerbated by our reliance on social media. Another quote here, the world is an information minefield right now. We also need to think carefully about which beliefs we allow into that protected inner circle. This is Kaplan again. It says it makes sense to share beliefs and values with people, and it makes sense to defend those beliefs, but to have beliefs that are epistemological, there we go, that things are true or false around the world and be unwilling to hear otherwise can be very dangerous. He says, as for all the other little beliefs tucked away in your head, you don't necessarily need to interrogate everything. Playing land safely doesn't change anything. But what's the harm? If holding on to the hope that winning the lottery is the solution that brings you comfort, why not? If you don't have some beliefs, you can't get through the world. He says there are rituals and beliefs that are really, says these rituals and beliefs are really reinforcing. They're really nice. And there's something beautiful and distinctly human about them. I just found this fascinating. Let's get to Shelby, see, and we'll talk travel, because Shelby's got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about, which is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Finette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go.
So, Shelby, I was reading from this article, The Psychology of Belief, How Your Brain Distorts the World to Support Your Emotional Attachments to Certain Ideas. It actually was more interesting, you know, towards the middle of the end of it. That didn't turn out as well as I thought it was. Anyway, written by Kate Morgan February 5th, 2019, in this place called Forge, the website, F-O-R-G-E. So if you want to look it up or check it out or anything like that, that's where it is. Good morning, Shelby.
Good morning. I've seen that in practice in our own lives with our family members and, you know, people get attached to whatever their beliefs are. They kind of change the reality to make themselves the victim and someone else the villain.
Yeah.
It's definitely a psychological process that I've witnessed in real life and certainly has been happening, you know, with all the information here with COVID. So I agree. It's just really very interesting. Groupthink in general is very interesting. The most simplistic one, you know, I concentrated in psychology. I minored in it. And I always found it fascinating that, remember I told you this, the elevator story where if you go into an elevator and everybody is turned around, the person that walks in turns around to the back of the elevator just automatically, just because the group is, and without speaking to anybody. It's so fascinating. And then you can really convince someone that they're wrong. Like they had two lines, parallel lines on a piece of paper that were exactly the same length. But after 20 minutes in a room with 12 people, 11 of them being placed there as a project, so they were plants, 11 of them, you know, convinced the one person that they were right, that those lines were different lengths. And it's just like, it's a real thing. Psychology of humans is a real thing. And our attachment to being a part of the group in being accepted by a group is far greater than basically anything else in our lives, in our psychology, because we're a group species. That's another thing that I find really fascinating. I did some discovery on that because I love primates. I'm very fascinated by primate movement and just the whole parallel with human, you know, psyche. And it's our need to be part of the group is so, it's worse than like any other pain we could feel, to be excluded. And this is where bullying and all that, where I'm really familiar with, because I was, you know, cruelly, cruelly bullied as a child and excluded purposefully.
Wow.
and made you know, a huge mockery. Like they would never get away with this today. It was like they were horrible. But the exclusion, that pain of exclusion, is so deep that people will pretty much do and change their mind to anything to be part of the group. So I think, you know, that's a whole different topic, but sort of ties into what COVID's situation is and the way people think and how they're reacting and how they're changing the reality of things and the studies and sort of just overlooking a lot of stuff. So anyway, I've monopolized that part of the conversation.
No, that's okay. No, I want to talk about that. We've got a little bit of time. Like I say, Josie may not be able to join us. She's not feeling too well. So we have a lecture, but you have to leave, you know, a certain time anyway. But the whole idea of groupthink, I mean, we talked about mass psychosis before. And that's something that I got from a fascinating YouTube channel called Academy of Ideas, and then reinforced by Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone most recently on Joe Rogan's podcast, talking about mass psychosis.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's getting a lot of flack for that. I just saw
that. Yeah,
but it's
true.
This morning,
look at
Malone.
The...
Yeah, and boy, they are really coming at him, like as if he's some crazy lunatic on some channels. And I find that fascinating, too. I mean, you can argue any point, that's for sure. But I am familiar with what you're speaking of.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get on Joe Rogan's show. I've actually written him a few times, but you know, now I actually have a connection.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, nothing's happened yet, but I know someone that knows him, you know, and we've got these, you know, a couple of connections down the line. That's usually how these things are going to happen. Sooner or later, we're going to get our lucky break, and after, you know, years of work, that's how it usually works. And I understand that, so we'll get there. But this idea of beliefs, you know, the title of the show today, GOP who say President Biden can't win Congress back, the whole idea that if you say something, even though you may, you know, believe to the contrary or think to the contrary, you know, you become part of the group because everybody else is saying it. Everybody's saying President Biden, except for those of us that absolutely know, because we've seen the evidence presented, you know, video and everywhere else, that this ain't happening and that there's a going investigation everywhere. Yet people, especially the GOP, either they don't want to deal with it or their mass psychosis is they keep saying it because everybody else is saying it. Maybe they can't keep their jobs if they don't say it, but saying it is believing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Well, yeah, this is why I can't really speak. This is life. I mean, it's a conundrum, and believe me, I honor every doctor that has put their license on the line to try and do other discovery work. And boy, mm-hmm. I really do. However, I personally, you know, I'm in social media business. I do social media for small businesses around the area. Mm-hmm. I have a travel company, and I can't be canceled. I really can't. So unfortunately, that's just, and plus it's really not the platform because they're censoring everything. So it's not the platform to express the views. Right. Well, probably, but I'm saying like the normal social media platforms,
right.
It's just too bad, but it is what it is. And the discussion is not being had. There is not a back and forth discussion in mainstream media and on the popular social platforms. That's very, that's super, super concerning on a lot of levels. But, you know, it's at least it's my choice that I protect my family's, you know, livelihood. And,
well, I understand that. I don't post things on Facebook because I know they're going to get canceled. I'll get violated, and then I don't have access to my friends and the stories and the things that happen. Yeah. Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
I talk about things on the show I can't possibly post.
Right.
That happens, you know, almost daily. But I understand that. And what's interesting is that, like, you and I can completely disagree on things, have a civil discussion about our complete disagreement, and it's okay. You know, and that's why I love having you on. You know, but we can do that. We can agree on things. We can disagree on things. But the thing is, this is you know, I call this the cutting edge of freedom for a reason, you know, because we can have these discussions that we're not limited by social media. There's no overlord, you know, directing what we can and can't say. So this is the place to experiment. This is the place to try out new ideas. This is the place to do, you know, the things that we're doing. I mean, when people say, well, I'm not an expert in this, and it's like, well, neither am I, but that doesn't mean we can't speculate. Doesn't mean we can't question. Doesn't mean we can't, you know, try to build a formulation. Like my contention, I say all the time, assumptions are stronger than truth. You know, people make assumptions based on their emotional beliefs now. I'm sort of connecting all the dots here from emotions and beliefs all the way up to mass psychosis, and it seems to follow a very interesting pattern. Anyway, probably enough on that. But cruise lines are finally standing up. What's going on with Leah?
Yeah, they are.
This is
I
good.
I would say they could stand up further. You know, it's interesting about Kelly Craighead from CLIA, who I got to meet on the CLIA conference. CLIA is the Cruise Line International Association. As far as I'm concerned, they've got a great gig going on. They charge all of the people that want to book a cruise. The agencies, they charge, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and the agents a couple hundred dollars, and they're, you know, like, I don't even know, probably 500,000 strong. I really don't know. That's just a speculative number. But, you know, we don't really do get any really things from them. They have trainings, but they're a little redundant if you actually are an agent. However, they are in the political arena. That's how she got into this, that's how they developed this. And I was surprised that she was so heavily involved in the political arena, but yet hadn't had any real movement when I was at the conference, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. But they definitely have expressed a statement in response to the CDC's level 4 issue with cruise lines, telling people not to cruise. They said, you know, it's very curious of why you're calling out.
Yeah, I've got this right here. I want to go over it with you. But who the hell is the CDC? They have no jurisdiction. They're not a regulatory agency. The only authority that they have, if they have any authority at all, is to prevent people from coming into the United States with an obvious communicable disease displaying symptoms. You know, like Ebola. When they banned people coming into the country from Ebola, and Obama, I guess, overrode them
and
brought a couple
of
doctors in. Well, I do agree with that one. With Obama or with CDC banning Ebola? You don't want Ebola in this country.
Banning Ebola. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that,
you know,
too.
I don't mean to get off track, but this is interesting.
Okay.
I think you'll find it interesting.
We always do.
I have a neighbor that actually travels to Africa every 6 weeks or so because he has work out there. He's a big pilot, and he has contract work. So every 6 weeks, you know, forever and ever, he's been going to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, you know, I was asking questions about the situation there, and we talked about Ebola. And I said, well, what, like, I mean, if this was Ebola, I said, I could understand the lockdowns, you know, when this was all first happening, because I've never been really about, I've listened and I've done what they've told me to, but I haven't liked it. Let's put it that way. I've done what they forced me to, but I haven't liked it. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I said if this was Ebola, I could understand, because Ebola is an incredibly catchy disease. It kills, like, almost everybody it infects.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a horrible, horrible disease. And I said, well, how did they control Ebola? And he looked me dead in the face. And now, don't forget, he's there all the time, so this probably doesn't affect him as much. And when he said it, like, I felt like a big, I had been like a 100-pound rock had just like slammed on me. But he said it with such like nonchalance. He's like, oh, they just burned the cities down. The they're not called cities.
The
communities, little villages. That's what he said. Yeah. They just burned the villages to the ground. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, they just burned them to the ground. I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's like
the
plague.
That makes...
That's like plague in the Middle
Ages.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't... Oh, wow. I mean, I'm still kind of like, I can't even... My words don't come to me because I'm so like...
You're too Western.
I can't even... Yeah, I mean, I really... But then, you know, I look at, like, the numbers. Like, if it kills 100%, frankly, I don't know if I was part of that village, I would want to sacrifice so that the whole community didn't die, too. But, I mean, that's my – at least that's what I think I would do. Who knows? Maybe I'd try to escape with it. Who knows?
No,
if
I understand
in that,
but the point is the CDC was right to do that. They were right to block that. You know, and I was worried about Ebola. I was really concerned when Obama brought that doctor. I said, you really don't want to do this, you know.
I agree with, yeah.
Treat them there.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're risking the whole population for nothing. But that's the only authority they have, and they do not have the authority to suspend, you know, landlord-tenant contracts. They do not have the ability to issue guidelines that every governor in the state has to follow. And, in fact, it was interesting. I sort of reminded myself about the 2007 guidelines that only called for lockdowns, masks, and school closures with a Category 4 or 5 pandemic. At least they had these categories. They had the Pandemic Severity Index. And I think Category 4 was upwards of 1.8 million and Category 5 was above 1.8 million. So you actually had to have, you know, close to 2 million people dead from the pandemic, not just, you know, carrying it or dying as a comorbidity before you actually had all these lockdowns. And that was changed right after Trump took office. They changed the guidelines 3 months after Trump took office, you know, which is highly suspicious. That's why we had these lockdowns so quickly. They changed the guidelines to do it, all right? And then the CDC is you want to talk about something that needs investigating? That's something that needs investigating. But the CLIA had this fascinating thing, and they read there's three paragraphs, and they're short. But the news media picked up on the first one, which says the decision by the CDC to raise the level for crews is particularly perplexing, considering that cases identified on cruise ships consistently make up a very slim minority of the total population on board. In other words, it's not really consequential, right? Far fewer than on land. And the majority of those cases are asymptomatic, okay? No symptoms, right? Or mild in nature, posing little to no burden on medical resources on board or on shore. So how many people are actually being treated for COVID on cruise ships? How severe? And has anybody died of COVID on a ship? You know, well, on a cruise?
Well, they haven't. I suspect if the word got out and that had happened, they would let us know right away because the news media would love that. I just had a whole bunch of people, you know, I'm part of a big community, and a whole bunch of people went on New Year's cruises that I know. And they have all come back saying that there was COVID on the ship, but nobody knew of anyone that died. There were some quarantining things going on the ship. Like the ship still was able to get into port. I did think they missed one of the ports. Another big thing that happened recently, because we were just on a Virgin Voyage cruise in November, which is not long ago. And, you know, it was looking like the staff wore masks. Everyone was vaccinated. The staff wore masks. And the passengers did not have to wear masks. However, on this cruise that they just went on, the passengers did have to wear masks and inside the ship and outside in NASA. They had to wear masks outside in NASA.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And here's, you know, what's funny about this, if we get to back to beliefs and actual evidence, the evidence is that masks don't work unless you have an N95, you know, specifically fit for you, you know, tailored properly, they only wear for like 3 or 4 hours. Gene can talk about masks better than I can. The vaccines don't have a really great track record. And here's the thing that everybody's forgetting. This is an airborne virus. Everybody has either had COVID, been exposed to COVID, was either asymptomatic, mildly symptomatic, moderately symptomatic. This thing has a 99.95% average survival rate. It's not Ebola. It's not even close. This thing at most is, for most people, they don't even know it. It's either annoyance or what I had, I would call mild to moderate symptoms when I think I had COVID 2 years ago, when I sounded like crap on the radio. You know, for 2 weeks, I was coughing myself.
So I don't like that testimony, but...
I have a
huge network of people, as you know, because I'm in social media business, and
right.
I can tell you now, obviously, I know no one was really telling people who got it and who didn't in the beginning, so it's possible my numbers are a little skewed,
right.
But now people are sharing a little bit more. I have known more people that have told me or posted or let me know personally in my network that have had it than ever before, just the last month, the last 30 days. I have never heard so many people having it in the last 2 years as I have in the
trendy?
Last month. Now they're all okay, but it definitely the most people that I've ever heard of having it. It's really strange. I would have thought that they were already exposed. Yeah.
But I've been saying this for 2 years. You know, this isn't something that I just came out with.
I guess they weren't. Or the variant obviously attacked them a little differently. There's still so much unknown. However, I feel like at this point I can say that I definitely feel like we are going to have to get past this soon, because at some point everyone's mm-hmm. going to have had it. Or been exposed, like you said, and that this, I think we're there. I think we're at that
airborne.
Point.
We've all been exposed.
However,
my contention is we've all been exposed already.
Well, we definitely, even if that was true, then why would I have known so many people to have gotten it in the last 30 days? I mean, it's a different variant, so that's possible, but it's...
Well, Omicron's like a cold. You know, there's a billion cases of colds in the United States annually. I have an article on that. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. But this thing, you know, it's so out there. In fact, we had a report back in March of 2020 that this vaccine expert briefed Congress. Everybody's going to get exposed to this thing. So you can't stop it.
Yeah,
I've got another
I've
article. It's from Antarctica. You know, the Antarctic stations that are, you know, tested and vaccinated and they're still getting COVID because it's airborne.
Right. And I have felt
and it goes around the vaccine.
You have
yeah.
on that. I don't understand the mindset of thinking that you can outrun the virus, even if you have the most basic knowledge about virology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, in science, you know that they're not eradicating this with the vaccine either. And that's a real big misconception, I think. What I do find interesting that is a little mm-hmm. infuriating, though, kind of like, you know, you always want the people on the wrong side or the bullies to be knowing that they're wrong. And I think I've said this from the beginning. You're like, wait till they see XYZ. Then they'll, I'm mm-hmm. like, they're never going to know. They're going to change the story. I say
yep.
this because I know I've dealt with bullies a lot in my life. And it's very much the same premise. And what I found fascinating lately is that even though the vaccines don't seem to be actually working because, you know, people are still getting it, the messaging
mm-hmm.
is, but you didn't die. Now, we don't know that that's the reason someone didn't
die. Or your symptoms were less severe. I've heard that too.
Right.
Well, how do you
we
know?
We don't know that.
You have no
we
idea what your symptoms
that.
Would have been.
But that's like an inherent, like that part of the messaging is not
mm-hmm.
even spoken of. The messaging is that thankfully I got my vaccine and my boosters. So when I got it, I didn't die and it was very mild. Now, the fact that we don't know, and again, as a science brain, this bothers me because we don't know whether
mm-hmm.
or not if you were vaccinated or not vaccinated and you got it, if it was going to be mild or not mild. We don't know that, but we're messaging it as if we did. And so now, again, the people that believed, and I'm not, I did not want to do any of this. Like this was a forcible thing.
Right.
But
and that's what's wrong.
Frankly, it is.
Yeah.
That is what's wrong. That is totally what's wrong, especially with something
mm-hmm.
so untested. However, anyway, I'm not, you know, I'm not a vigilante either, so, or a martyr. And you know, that's okay. I'm not, other people are better at other things, and I'm better at other things than they are. But at least I'm honest, you know, with myself and other people. But as far as this whole messaging goes, like they don't realize or want to admit that the vaccine didn't really do anything, because they just changed the story. They're saying, well, yeah, it did something. It made sure you didn't die or get very sick, but you don't know that that's true. Maybe it is, but it's very
well, that's part of the belief system.
That it isn't.
Part of, isn't that maintaining the belief system, Shelby? Is there enough to maintain the belief system, to maintain that people will still get the vaccine, they'll get their two shots, they'll get their two boosters now?
Yeah,
because if people don't
now
believe
with Israel,
in it.
By the way. Israel is booming with Omicron, and they're on four boosters. It's like a 70% vaccination rate.
Yeah. Well, to me, the evidence would show that the vaccines are actually spreading it. The vaccines are creating the variants, because the variants are the successful ones find their way around the current vaccine. The more people you have vaccinated.
That science makes sense to me, too. I mean, that's what the first frontline doctors were all saying, was like, you know, don't make this a pandemic. Because, of course, the virus is going to change. And, again, this isn't the kind of vaccine that we used to get, where it was a little bit of the virus, a small load of the virus. It's a different thing entirely. It's, you know, just a replication.
Well, we call it a vaccine out of convenience, because if we say messenger RNA GMO bioweapon, people get offended. They don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
so that's
boy.
Just me. Yeah, well, all right, let me drop the bioweapon part. But it's genetically modified. It is a messenger RNA. It is an instruction for your DNA to make COVID within your body that partially turns off your immune system so that you don't attack it right away. And hopefully by creating enough COVID in your body artificially, that you will learn how to create immunity to it. The irony is your body already has the ability to create immunity to it with your natural immune system, which is far more successful. And, you know, that's evidence of the 99.95%, you know, survival and, you know, rate of keeping this to nothing for most people. So the whole psychology of this is fascinating. And again, it's a belief system. It's a reinforced belief system that is required to sell the product. And that's the really despicable part. Let me get you another paragraph here. This is from the CLIA statement. No setting can be immune from this virus. However, it is also the case that cruise provides one of the highest levels of demonstrated mitigation against the virus. Cruise ships offer a highly controlled environment with science-backed measures, known testing, and vaccination levels far above other venues or modes of transportation and travel, and significantly lower incidence rates than. So in other words, the general population, you know, they're not doing as well as cruise ships. Yeah, so why are they going after, you know, DEFCON 4?
Well, as I say, for everyone that wanted, and I told you this from the beginning, the people want the vaccine. The most people do. They did want it. And so for those
belief
who
system.
Did want it, where else can you go that almost 100% of the people are vaccinated and they're tested before they walk on board? Where else can you go? Plus cleaning protocols, plus like air ventilation and open air, and where else can you go to have those? You can't. There's nowhere else. But yet they continue. And I mean, listen, I know I'm speculating, but I always think it has something to do with the fact that it's international. All the ships are flagged internationally, so they don't have to pay taxes. So they get in a way pretty much scot-free with the United States for a long time under a loophole. And I feel like that might be. That, I mean, if we're just talking about motive, right, why are they singling out cruises? Why did they go crazy and call it a petri dish, which it is not?
It's not a closed
environment than an
Louis
office,
Pasteur.
School.
It's a Louis Pasteur sterile environment. Here's what it is.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I realize it's a little bit of a closed environment. I'm not an idiot, but it's also, so is your school. So is your office, if not more so, you know. So if those are open, there is no reason that, and the cleaning protocols are way beyond, like, anything in the restaurant industry, anything in your office building, anything in your home. It's just shocking that they keep picking on them. So what's the motive?
Let's do a little speculation here. If you were the CDC, and I have a theory, I'm going to kind of run by you, and I'm really curious what you think. But if you're in the CDC and you're in the vaccine business, which I think they are with the NIH and the FDA, there's a university, big pharma, you know, government bureaucrat, big tech cabal that's kind of all involved in this pushing of the vaccine to the exclusion of everything else. If on cruise ships, one of the safest environments, you know, in the world, one of the most controlled, one of the, obviously 100% vaccinated with both crew and passengers, and yet COVID is still there, it destroys the theory of vaccinations. Because what it really says is these things don't work, that despite all these measures, people are still getting COVID. When we told the people if they take the vaccination, they won't get COVID. So rather than let cruise ships prove in their isolated controlled environment that these vaccines don't work, they're trying to stop people from cruising. So they don't have to be embarrassed by the fact that their evidence is being thrown back in their face.
What do you think? Okay. Yeah, I think that's a very fair hypothesis because you're right. It would be proving, although they're spinning it. So, you know, they're focusing on the fact that there are cases versus just, you know, it's, I don't know if people are even realizing. I don't think most people are deducing what we're deducing out of this. I think they're just hearing, oh, COVID's on cruise ships, so we shouldn't go. You know, I don't think people are even looking deeper than that for the majority. Anyway.
Well, that's our job. But COVID, you know, by logic, by the logic of the CDC and the NIH and the FDA, COVID can't be on cruise ships because they're cleaning everything.
Right,
because
right.
Because everybody's vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because they're tested before they all go on board. So if the logic is correct, COVID could not exist on cruise ships, given the evidence that we're being given.
But now they've spun it differently, and now it's okay. It's okay. You'll get it, but you won't die. So that's good. And we've been saying that all along. Well, that is good, but it's just not provable that, you know, that if we, whoever didn't get the vaccine, it didn't die either. You know what I mean? So it's not provable. Yeah. I don't know. Well,
vaccine is still a choice. I would not stop anybody from getting one. I just think it's wrong. It's certainly wrong for me. But I want to be able to present the evidence that it's wrong and not be demonized for it. Let me get the last paragraph.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. It is really, I mean, like I told you, one of my very good friends who I really care about was just shocking with the amount of venom towards anyone that didn't get the vaccine. I was like, they're scared.
Yeah. They think they're going to die because somebody else didn't get a vaccine. I understand that, even though I think it's wrong. But I understand that fear because they've bought into this. They've made the emotional decision that this thing is so scary. Like we talked about this earlier with Gene. Gene, come on back anytime you want. Biden, you know, Brandon walking down the stairs of his airplane, you know, in a blinding whiteout snowstorm. He's still wearing a mask. Where does he think he's going to get COVID from? What, the snow going by his face at 40 miles an hour?
The whole mask thing now, and I know we totally disagree with this because I really do believe that masks can help if everybody wears them. But if we take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on, and we're just wearing little cloth masks, and then no, I don't agree with that. But
yeah.
I get spit on and breathed on way too much. And there is a viral load on every virus. There's a viral load that does contaminate you. So where you can get through a couple particles, if you have too many, then, and especially with saliva, there is a more contractual opportunity for that virus when it's in a droplet. Yeah. So, and I mean, I get spit on a lot. People always are talking to me. Some people are really close talkers. A lot of times they're drinking because we're on the party, you know, event planning. And I'm just
stop
spitting on me, you know, like, oh, it's just the other day, I was talking to someone at a big party that we were at for the holidays, and they had just come off a cruise ship that had COVID. And again, like, I don't want to get sick at all. And I don't believe that the vaccine is going to prevent anyone from it. So I'm like, yo, back the fuck up.
Well, now they're saying it just lowers symptoms. That's the funny part.
If they would have had a mask on, I would have been happy about that because they were all over, like, just close talking. Yeah. I could, you know, feel the breath on me. And so in that case, I do think masks can be helpful. However, what we've got going on, this whole little dance of the mask, that's infuriating because all of this is a control factor when you're making me wear it to the hostess station and to the restroom, but I could take it off at the table for the whole duration is ridiculous. Like, not that I want to wear it the whole time either. It's impractical to be wearing a mask while you're out eating. If that's the case, then just I'm not going to go. So, you know, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's why I'm not traveling until Well, I can't travel much anyway yet, but, you know, as my situation improves, I intend to do a lot more traveling, a lot more conventions and things like that. But I don't want to go anywhere, you know, until a lot of this mask stuff is done with. I don't want to fly in an airplane, although I may have to, you know, depending on circumstances and, you know, various things. If I get an opportunity to speak somewhere, I'm going to fly, even if I have to wear a stupid mask, simply because I want to do it.
Right.
You know, but I won't like it.
Yeah, well, but it's close contact. I mean, it's nice that people aren't sitting on everybody as much anymore.
But that was always nice when they weren't doing that. Anybody that does that, even people that did that before COVID, you know, it's really insulting to spit on people while you're talking to them. I'm sorry. This European, you know, 6-inch face distance, you know, but in some cultures, they really get up close to you. And it's like rude if you stand too far away. Americans, we have a more respectable distance, I think. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, paragraph here.
Well, but,
go ahead.
Hold on. I want to just finish that mask thing because
oh, no,
I just saw a couple of videos that I'll have to send you because it was so interesting. It's pretty funny. Of one of the White House representatives literally like putting his mask on before he walked on stage and then taking it off on the podium, which it was, you know, just hilarious. Like it was like, really, you know, and they had him off stage camera, you know, it was like, oh, come on, like what a show. And then another one with, the UK people, all the UK prime ministers and the higher ups doing a photo shoot with the mask and then taking them off. Like, are we done with this? You know, it was really hilarious. And I'm like, the showmanship of it all is so irritating and patronizing in my opinion. But go on. Let me hear
the
last
part of the illusion. It's all part of the illusion, part of the control, part of
the
belief system. As long as people believe that their leaders are wearing a mask, they don't actually have to do it.
Right.
You know, this is why I think the psychology. Yeah, well, this is why I want, you know, feel free to delve more into your psychological background on things like this, because the beliefs and the assumptions are staggering. You know, you got a cruise industry now that's doing everything they can. They're doing everything they were told to do, and the CDC stabs them in the back and says, well, we're going to DEFCON 4. You guys are too dangerous, even though they're the cleanest environment out there with air that comes across thousands of miles of ocean that's purified by ultraviolet sunshine. It's probably the best air in the world is on cruise ships. Right, because there's no industry, you know, right off the side. There's no cars driving around them. I don't think you can get a better environment than a cruise ship, unless you're at 30,000 feet in an airplane, you know, breathing, you know, constantly fresh air.
Right.
And that's it. You know, I mean, where else? Yeah. I mean, and the cruise ship's even better because it's fresh, wonderful sunshine air at sea level. The oceans purified the air to the point where, and they're still getting COVID, which means what they're saying isn't working. And I still stand by the fact that the CDC, because cruise ships prove that their stuff is a bunch of BS, they have to close down cruise ships in order to maintain
that's
the illusion that what they're saying is correct.
That's a fair hypothesis and possibility. Yeah. It definitely would not surprise me. I think it's a really astute point.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Have any celebrities taken cruises lately? Any celebrities you know of that are taking cruises to prove this is nonsense?
Oh, that's interesting. No, I don't think anybody would put themselves on the line. I mean, this is like a PR stunt. I don't know.
I would. Hey, listen, you get me an Action Radio cruise, we get a Vax Choice maskless cruise, I'm there. You know, I'll invite everybody. Yeah, we'll do it. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, you remember, I mean, here's something interesting. This is, again, as we always go off topic, when terrorism was a big thing, and I remember the Cannes Film Festival in the south of France, that's Cannes, in the French Riviera.
Yes.
They have a huge film festival every year. And when terrorism was a problem, and I forgot, there's one terrorist act. I remember, you know, really big actress like Sylvester Stallone. I'm not flying to Cannes. I mean, there might be terrorists out there. You know, all these celebrities showed how brave they were by simply staying home. Well, why don't you take a train? Go take alternate transportation. Fly somewhere else, you know. I mean, they're all paranoid, and they went crazy. And I think they even ended up canceling the festival.
Did you just mention Sylvester Stallone, or was that an actual person that did that? Because I have a funny story about him.
No, he did that. He was bragging that he was too afraid to go to – wasn't bragging, but he made the big claim. Well, you know, I like when I took her to party the other day. I said, okay, my friend Adrian –
Oh my god, that's funny. I should say I saw him. I didn't meet him. He was at when I worked at Canyon Ranch, in Lenox, one of the number one health spas in the world. Really, where wellness spas sort of were invented.
Did he have cucumbers on his eyes? Tell me, Stallone had cucumbers on his eyes.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. Okay, so two things. he was the only one. I was only there a year, but because then I went on cruise ships. But he was one of the only people I knew, because we had all kinds of actresses and actors, with James Taylor on a regular basis. I met Mary Tyler Moore. I met Julia Roberts. She was super sweet, and I didn't even know
you
her.
You just opened up a whole category of celebrity gossip. You know we need to know these things.
Back to Sylvester. He's the only one that I knew of, and I'm not really a starstruck kind of gal. I have a few people I'd really like to meet, but I'm just, that's not my game. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. He was the only person I knew of that was a star that brought bodyguards, and he was so big to begin with, you know, like physically. And I thought, that's very interesting. Like, why is Sylvester Stallone worried? And then we had some sort of emergency. He was in the spa. He was getting a facial, and he did have cucumbers on his eyes, which is crazy that you – no, I –
come on.
No, it wasn't – I didn't even see
that. That'd be worth
a fortune.
Are you kidding?
That was spa gossip. That was spa gossip. I didn't see that happen, but I definitely heard from a reliable source. Basically, he had, a spa facial, and he had the cucumbers, and then there was some emergency, and his bodyguards ran him out of there, and the spa girls told me all about it, and we were all giggling. But so that's interesting about Sylvester Stallone. Otherwise,
he's a big baby. Apparently, he's a coward. He wouldn't go to the Cannes Film Festival. Yeah,
I don't dislike him. He's okay. He doesn't have to be a tough guy. He's just a regular dude. But it is funny because it's so juxtaposed to his persona.
Oh, no, listen, I got a story for you. Let me tell you about psychology. When I was flight instructing, I took up a bodybuilder one day, and this guy was the biggest baby. He was the most cowardly person I ever took flying. I mean, I had high school girls, you would think would be, all giggly and stuff like that, request spin training. All right. And this guy, I actually got him up in an airplane, and we had to take a 172 Cessna, four place Cessna, because he was too big for the 150s and 152s, which is fine. I like those planes better anyway. So we're getting ready for takeoff, and he's already scared. He's like, what if it's bumpy? I said, what do you mean, what if it's bumpy? Of course it's going to be bumpy. It's always bumpy. We're in a small plane. He's looking at me. Oh, my God. Will you turn around if it's bad? Well, sure, if it is, but why don't you just relax, breathe, take it easy. This isn't my first time up on a small plane. I do this like 5 times a day, okay? So it's not, trust me, we're going to be fine. It was like, light wind, maybe 15, 20 miles an hour, right? So we take off.
You're flexing, but you did do this on a regular basis. I've been pretty damn scared in small planes myself, and I understand. But I think that is a juxtaposition. Bodybuilders are not necessarily tough.
That's my whole point.
Sculpting.
Is that bodybuilders? Yeah. I think are at least if Stallone and this guy are any pattern, are some of the most cowardly people out there. This guy was terrified, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, it really wasn't that bad. In fact, it wasn't bad at all. So we take off. We get about 50 feet off the ground. He says, "Turn around." I said, "I can't, not yet." "No, you have to turn around." I said, "Dude, I'm not going to lose my license over your paranoia." So this is just. Breathe, close your eyes. I don't care what you do. We have to get to at least 500 feet, and then I can turn around. So I called the tower, and I said, we need to land. Oh, is there any problem? Oh, not really. I didn't want to embarrass this guy, right? He said, we're just going to do one circuit and come back around and land. And he was terrified. He was gripped. Got it. And this guy could have overpowered me. That was my biggest fear, is this guy got really scared. It's like when you try and save a drowning person, and they drown you too.
Yeah.
But it was just funny that he was go ahead.
I don't like picking on people for being nervous about things like that. I mean, it's just a real human fear. I mean, it's definitely something to overcome for a lot of people. But anyway, I would love for you to read the last part of that CLIA statement. I know it pretty well, but I'd like for the viewers to listen to it too.
Sure. It says, while we are disappointed and disagree with the decision to single out the cruise industry, an industry that continues to go above and beyond compared to other sectors, CLIA and other ocean-going cruise line members remain committed to working collaboratively with the CDC in the interest of public health and safety. And I think they're right on. I absolutely agree with this, and I wasn't too in favor of them before because I thought they were sort of knuckling under the CDC. I think it's better they're standing up to it. My question is whether the CDC is in fact working in the interest of public health and safety. I don't think so. I think they're working in the interest of their vaccine marketing and profit. That's what I think the problem is.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would disagree with that for sure. I don't know what their connection is, monetarily, but it certainly would not surprise me if there's some connections. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like that last part of the statement though is just such a kowtow to I'm just telling you I'm not happy, but I'll do whatever you say. So,
well, the second paragraph's a good one. No setting
yeah,
can be
but
immune
like
from
the
virus.
Last paragraph, like, I get it. Like, she's so diplomacy, but at this point, I think we're far past that.
Yeah.
You know, we're far past it. We're far past diplomacy. It's put up or shut up. Like, this is what we're doing. We're allowed to do it. People can come. People can go. People don't have to come. People don't have to, you know, it really, we're far past it.
Well, what they should really do is challenge the authority.
Decide what you're going to do.
Yeah, if they just challenge the authority and say, look, the CDC doesn't govern us. They don't have jurisdiction. You know, they can't condemn our whole industry. They have no right to put the cruise lines out of business. We're going to sail. If countries are going to let us in, we're going to sail there. If these things are going to happen, then if Florida wants us to go out of Florida, you know, despite CDC guidelines, we're going to go because the CDC does not regulate and control the cruise industry. They can make suggestions,
yeah,
and we can follow those, but we're not going to stop cruising just because they're not happy, just because they want to, you know, push their vaccine line. That's what they should say.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I mean, at this point, though, 2 years into it, people have the choice. They should have the choice to do it, to not cruise, to cruise. I mean, it just should be dependent. I mean, listen, if you're high risk, I get it. If I was high risk, elderly, obese, I probably would have a lot different choices that I would be making. But I'm not, and I shouldn't have to make the same choices you make just because you're in a different situation. I mean, I have my own hurdles that I have to get over in life that you
we
don't
do.
Have. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So why do I have to follow? I have my own hurdles. I need yours too. You know, I really don't. Like, it's now that we know.
Individual choice. It always comes down to individual choice and those who want to control individual choice. It's the same old argument, just a different situation.
Not at the public health, and that's the other thing that they keep kind of promoting as if the people are doing so bad for public health, because we're far past that. Like, we've had this virus for 2 years. I mean, the fact that they are firing nurses and doctors of not getting vaccinated, that's another big problem, because now they don't have the staff that they should have. Yeah. That they'll be, you know, that's just a ridiculous thing that they did, especially since all those people had definitely been exposed, you know, having been in that industry. That's the nurses that I talked to that did not want to get the vaccine. That was their main, you know, their main argument was, I've been exposed. I've been dealing with this for a year. Why I had it or whatever. And again, this dominating, you have to do it or you lose your job. Like, it's so upsetting. It's like so un-American.
Well, it's illegal. Let's put it bluntly, it's illegal. They have no right to do it because the federal law clearly says that you have a right to refuse an experimental treatment. It's right there. I've been posting it for months off and on, but it's right there. The federal law clearly says you cannot be forced. So all these mandates are patently illegal anyway, but you cannot be forced to take an experimental drug. And these drugs are all experimental because they're not using the one that was approved. The one that was approved hasn't been made yet. We're still under the BioNTech emergency use authorization.
Right.
That is illegal.
That you gave me, because I didn't know that. None of my friends knew that either.
Which one?
You know, the fact that the one that was approved isn't made yet. So we're still under the experimental one.
Yeah. Read the label. Go to any doctor's office and see what they have for their vaccines. You can get it pretty clearly. It's right there. It's the BioNTech, yeah.
I love the argument that, is it Pfizer maybe, that has tried to make sure that we don't get the data for like 70 years? Is that a truth?
That's true. Nope. They want to lock
years.
It all up. Yep. By then they'll have done all the damage, made their profits.
Why not 100? Full 100 so no one lives through it to the end.
Yeah. I said, what are they afraid of? That's the question. What are they afraid of? You know, they're afraid that people find out that this is a crock, that they doctored the studies, that they changed everything around. You know, I'm looking for my law right now here on my rather complex computer screen. But yeah, I'll find it for you. I'll post it again once I figure where I did it. but the federal law, I forgot what title it is. It says very clearly, you know, you don't have to take any drug that's under an experimental use authorization. So they can't force it on people. But people don't know that law, so they're getting away with
and,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, all these practicalities, you know, again, like, you don't have to take it. You just lose your job. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to work. Like, today I have to work, you know. Tomorrow, maybe in 20 years, I can use my rights. But right now I have to work. And, you know, it's a real rock in a hard place, and they know it, and it's frustrating to be put in this situation, especially for me in travel. But it's as I said in the very beginning, this is my two words, and I'll leave it at this. Well played, people. Well played.
Interesting. If you want a citation,
anyway,
you can catch us on the podcast.
You're fabulous. I hope you have a great day. I got to run. You know, look forward to next week. Thanks for the opportunity, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Shelby. Great chat.
Bye.
Have a great week.
All right. So let me, in fact, I found what I was looking for. This is Title 21, U.S. Code, Section 360BBB-3, Authorization for Medical Products. Section E1A23, for those of you who are taking notes, right? Of the option to accept or refuse administration of the product, of the consequences, if any, of refusing administration of the product, and of the alternatives to the product that are available, and of their benefits and risks. And this is very clearly of the option to accept or refuse administration of the product. And what they're talking about is authorization for medical products, conditions of authorization, unapproved product, required conditions, appropriate conditions designed to ensure that individuals to whom the product is administered are informed. Okay, so in other words, this section covers the fact that these alleged vaccines that are really messenger mRNA shots are unapproved. They're authorized under an emergency use authorization, but they are still unapproved. The approved one hasn't been made yet. Okay, and the law clearly says, you know, that so they're violating federal law. All vaccine mandates violate this federal law because they're under a federal declaration of emergency that they're doing this. Just thought I'd throw that in. All right, let me play something for you guys. I'm going to copy this and send it to Shelby. And let me see, just have way too much fun. Yes, Jean.
When does the Supreme Court hear the case for the vaccine mandate?
I believe it's this week. I think it's the 7th, because I don't think they want to do anything on the 6th. So I think it's Friday. Now, Thursday, actually, it's a good thing you mentioned.
Okay, that will be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Thursday, we have our, what have I got there? That's something interesting. Oh, yeah, that's the mass psychosis. Let me take that one out, too. Pull up all my own. I got to put these together in one place. Thursday, we're doing our anniversary show. Now, if you remember, Josie and Jonathan Mosley were there. They were actually there. At the Capitol January 6th last year, and they called us. In fact, I posted the recording of that show just for that reason. Interesting stuff, huh? Are you there? She's there. I think she's there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Got Chance on the line a little bit early, and so what I'll do is I'll keep her on hold for just a little bit, or if you want to call back in a few minutes, I'm going to play. What am I going to play here? I goofed again. I got so caught up in trying to do some things. I had a bunch of emails and things going out that I didn't get to my Santa Rosa Volunteers piece for this week yet, but I'll do that today. I've got lots and lots of time. So I'm going to play for you. I'll play you a shorter one, and then we'll get to Chancey, and we'll chat like we always do. This is Greg Penglis with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. For our first founding lesson, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence. Basic to any understanding of freedom and liberty are these words written by Thomas Jefferson. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You will notice there is no reference to race, color, age, nationality, ethnic group, religion, or any of the common leftist categories they use to divide us. David Azarad, in his article for the Heritage Foundation, titled What the Constitution Really Says About Race and Slavery, December 28, 2015, says that no such concepts as race exist in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or any founding document. Therefore, since our founding documents have no such concept as race, it's kind of stupid of the left to say that we are founded on racism. The truth, folks, is that they simply made it up to suit their agenda of national sabotage and destruction, so that you would learn to hate your country. We hold these truths to be self-evident. No case need be made. It's plainly obvious. All men, meaning all people, are created equal.
Granted, your status once you've come into the world is different from everyone else's because we all have different backgrounds, families, cultures, wealth, education, etc. We have differences, vast differences, but we are created equal. The whole concept of liberty, freedom, and rights are all dependent on keeping God above government. When governments believe they are gods, they will dispense rights as they see fit. When people believe they are gods, they will feel entitled to everything you have. True freedom comes only from the understanding and maintenance in government through control by the people that our rights are unalienable, that they cannot be separated from us, ever, because they came from a power higher than government. That we the people, also being a higher power, realize and maintain control over government because all just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. How we give our consent is why I created Action Radio. I'll be back next week with another edition of Founding Moments, sponsored by the Santa Rosa Volunteers. This is Greg Penglis, creator of Action Radio, for my town, Milton, Florida. Milton, it's where I live. It's where you can live, too. It's where you can bring a new business, especially a business that helps our downtown historic district. We have everything in Milton. We have the Blackwater River. We have the Imogene Theater, built in 1912 and still booking national acts. We have Scoops Ice Cream. We have Boomerang's Restaurant, where I get my favorite Thai chicken pizza. We have an outdoor stage for music acts and free concerts by the river. The Blackwater Bistro will keep you in steak and seafood indefinitely. We have brew pubs creating great craft beers and giving us all a place to relax and talk. But it's more than just stuff and food and buildings. It's people. Remember the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name? It's that kind of place. So if you're tired of the cities, of the traffic, the frenetic pace of life that doesn't seem to get you anywhere, if you want a small city that has incredible potential, that combines the best of historic buildings and modern, fun, small retail shops and restaurants, and a great waterfront, plus who knows what for the future, take a look at historic Milton, Florida, in the Panhandle, near Pensacola, and the world's greatest beaches on the Emerald Coast of the Gulf of Mexico. Milton is going through a renaissance. Maybe you can be part of making it happen. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. All right, we are back here. It's been a fascinating day. You know, it's one of those days where I take a chance. I never know quite what's going to happen. In the original title, talking about the GDP, you know, anybody who says President Biden can't win Congress because they've already accepted the coup. And we've been through belief systems and emotions and mass psychosis. It's been a pretty incredible show. We've applied it to COVID, to politics, to the election, to all kinds of different stuff. We had, Shelby on. You know, for a good time, good amount of like 40, 45 minutes is fascinating. And Chancey Taylor's here now with us, and we have Wine, Meat, and Wellness. And Chancey, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to some of the show earlier. If you can, it's always a good idea because you can kind of leap right into what's going on.
But this has been quite an interesting day. Anyway, you know, feel free to branch into anything else you want to talk about. But did you get a chance to sort of catch into what we were doing before? Do you have any thoughts on, you know, people's belief systems and assumptions in general anyway? Good morning.
No, did not. No, I called in like right at 7:50, so I'll have to go back and check in on all that. But sounds okay. Interesting. Sounds like y'all have a good morning show.
Well, you know us. You know, I think of a simple question that turns into a complex show, which is kind of the way I like it.
Yes.
So we never. I know. I was talking to Gene about that earlier. I said, because you don't know where it's going to go. And that's the beauty of the show. This is why I love, you know, being able to have the free time to improvise and be able to do a bunch of things. And anyway, for folks that probably know us, we do have a schedule change. Chance is now going to be in the 8 o'clock slot in the last half hour of the show. We shall be, I don't know what we're going to be doing, unless Chance wants to hang around for a while. But Paulette has left us, and so mm-hmm. She will be pursuing her cooking show. And we wish her, of course, all the best and hope she has wild success with that. All right, Wine, Weed, and Wellness, one of the more controversial titles we've ever had for a show. which one would you like to, or other subjects you would like to have us dive into at this particular point?
Well, yeah, today I was, it's the new year, and I've been getting a lot of people talking about burnout and how they just didn't make a resolution this year, and they didn't really, it doesn't even feel like a new year. It feels like the same old, and that what do they do? Why are we here? What are we doing with our lives? And which is from everything that's been going on, and we know that was probably
I ask that question
part
every day.
Of the
Why am I here? Yeah. What am I doing with my life? I mean, that's like a constant with me. But why do you think people are suddenly questioning now? You think they've got like COVID burnout? Expectations didn't work out as expected. They did everything they thought they were supposed to do and got COVID anyway. You know, they exercised, you know, ate less and still kept their weight. I mean, what's really bugging people? This might be a great time to sort of figure out. Let's kind of flesh this out, as they say. Gene, did you want to say something?
Going to the stores and not being able to find what you need because they're in a ship off of California or some crazy thing, you know?
That's actually really important.
You know,
a good point. Yeah.
Or gas so expensive, you know, so and everything else so expensive, so you're trying to figure out what bill you pay this month or now. And then hearing the news that Biden is, what they're trying to say is Biden's doing such a great job, but we know that's not true.
talk about emotional beliefs and trying to convince you against the obvious evidence of what's going on. Chancey, I think I called you Taylor first. It's Chancey Terry. Let me get her name right at least. So feel free to correct me when I screw up like that. This is a good point. At the expectation that this is a Western modern republic, not a democracy, you know, where we have a free market where goods are produced and we're able to buy them, and all of a sudden the shelves were like a third world country. What the hell's going on here? Talk about a misplaced expectation. That's screwing around with people.
Right. And that's it. That's what they wanted. So they did it, and they programmed it, and now people are falling into that. And so it's the same concept. It's like, will I have my job? Will it be shut down? Should I go forward? Should I invest? Should I try this? Is the gym going to be shut down again? Is my wellness center going to be shut down again? What do I do? So I'll just keep doing nothing. And so they don't take their wellness into their own hands and do things at home, which is always there, thank goodness. So I've started people on like a 30-day yoga thing. So we're all doing videos together and messaging each other and when we're finished with it. And then I've got a lot of sound baths planned for the next month, and that's just so that people can learn how to be and not have to do anything. So I play vibrational therapy. They're Tibetan sound bowls, and they're tuned to certain frequencies to heal the body. And so it's amazing. But that's what I've been trying to do, is just educate people on things that they could have in their house, supplements, oils, breath work, videos, because we may, you never know. We may have to be at home again, or your job may change its policy again and again and again. So we always need to be who we are, where we are, and know what we want versus letting someone else decide it for us, which is what I think we've been doing.
are people having trouble sort of keeping up with all the changes? You know, when, I know the CDC, when one thing doesn't work and when their evidence is proven faulty, they come up with a change. Well, we didn't really say that. We didn't really say that the vaccine will stop COVID. We really said it just lessens the symptoms. No, you said it would stop COVID, you lying sacks of you-know-what. You know, and so it makes for very, you know, I think people like routines. You know, they like the bus to show up at 8:45 if it says show up at 8:45 on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They like, you know, the corner grocery store to be open and have their favorite, you know, English, I don't know, chutney. I'm just making stuff up, right? You know, but people have routines. And if you mess with – and what COVID has done is it's messed with everybody's basic routine and basic understandings that there was everybody thought they were – it's like the Matrix, one of my favorite films, Red Pill, Blue Pill.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody suddenly got the red pill. oh, this is the reality? Wait a minute. The reality is the government wants control over everything you do, and that causes stress.
Yeah.
If you lose decision power, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's it, and they still don't want to accept that. So they still aren't, because I think that that's the answer, is accepting that. Because, again, I don't even know where we're at in all this COVID stuff, because I've accepted the fact that everything's a lie. So I just keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm okay, but there's other people who are waiting on an answer. They're waiting on something else. They're waiting on someone to tell them everything's okay. But when you finally accept the fact that they're never going to tell you it's okay, that you have to find the okay, you can kind of do your own thing a little bit more, find a new job, do whatever you got to do, and just move on. But it's hard when that's not people's personality. They don't want to believe that they've been lied to for 2.5 years, because then that makes them a fool, you know, or they feel that way. They're not, but that it brings that out in them, like, how did I let this happen? And then they have to come to that realization, which is not
they almost have to. it's interesting. They have to defend the lie to prove that they weren't crazy, that what they thought was true. You know, it's interesting, getting back to a flight instruction story. I remember students would always say their instructor was the best until they changed instructors, and then the new instructor would be the best. And what was wrong with the old one? Well, they didn't do this and this. Well, you just said they were the best. Well, you know, because people have to believe that, because they always want to think they're getting the best. Whatever the best restaurant is that they go to, you know, it's the best, you know, until they close down for food poisoning and rats and things like that. We said they were the best. Well, they were until, they were the best, you know. I mean, people, they want to always have the best foot forward, and they're so concerned about their public image. And part of that public image is being right, you know, especially if someone yells and screams, you have to get a vaccine. Or you're going to kill grandma. And, of course, the evidence is coming out that the vaccines are killing grandma. You know. Well, here's let me remember a couple things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Betty White and John Madden for a second. Here we go. You know what's coming, right? And it seems to me that the minute the media says they died of natural causes, and they put in quotation marks in big letters, natural causes, or they don't know what the cause of death was, for people that were obviously public, obviously could afford, you know, massive medical care, obviously were older and probably had well-documented either heart disease or recoveries from cancer or things like that, you know, it'd be pretty easy to determine, you know, why they died. I mean, I don't know if it's that hard to discover, but all of a sudden, you know, what they don't want to say is they died of a COVID vaccine. I mean, they will do anything to avoid saying that, which leads me to believe that those two died of a COVID vaccine. What are your thoughts? From being a health professional.
As a health professional. Yeah, it's because they don't want to break it down for us, because how would we ever know? They can lie. We're not going to look at the autopsy. We don't know Betty White personally. So they think by saying that over and over again, that those headlines will continue to be there for 10 years from now, and you'll never know. So again, that's why, I mean, I probably am a little bit too sheltered, because I don't watch or read as much as I probably should.
Well, just listen to Action Radio. We'll tell everything. We'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, I mean, I care, but it's like there's things that I'd rather be doing. So when these people are like, I got a few texts. Oh, my God, did you know so-and-so died? And I'm like, yep, probably the shot. And so, but they got to break it down, and they got to figure out, maybe she was old. And I'm like, who knows? It's Betty White. I mean, she's probably not even dead. She may be alive. But that's where I go with it. And then they think I'm crazy.
Well, see, by not listening to the news, you're free to do a bunch of stuff. I listen to it with a skeptical eye, because I need to report on it. And a lot of what happens in the news are things that I might have to write legislation on. So for me, it's like a sport.
Yes.
You know, it's a competition as to, you know, who can get, I guess, a more accurate message out there. and to take the things that they say and challenge them using assumptions or using, excuse me, logic and reason and evidence to come up with truth, as opposed to using emotions and beliefs to create assumptions, which is the way I think most people come to their conclusions. Same thing with alternative health, which isn't even alternative. It's health. Yeah.
Right. And that's why people need to do that. There's people who need to listen and be like, oh, wait, no, that's not how I heard it 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was this, and this, you know, and have that knowledge in the background of, wait a minute, you told us this a minute ago, and you told us this, you know, a week ago, and break it down and question things.
Well, things change, too. I mean, every new discovery creates an entire change in the entire, you know, health business. You know, it's fascinating to me about all the different variations there are. Okay, anyway, so burnout. I find that's – what are people saying they're burned out on? I don't know if we quite finished all
that. Well, yeah, that's it. Just burnout of trying. And oh, like, it's already – I think it's only January 4th, and they're just like, wow, I don't even know where to go from here. And it did feel weird.
Where do they want to go from here?
Exactly. They need to decide, but they haven't been able to decide anything. They haven't been able to do what they want to do. And I went through that. Like, hey, I want to go here and do this. Well here's the rules. And then
go there.
Do those rules. Huh?
What's preventing them from going there and doing that? Whatever it is, they want to see. What's holding them back?
The mask and the mandate and the vaccines, all of that. Because that's where my mind was for a long time. I'm like, well, what if I just want to jump on a plane to go to so-and-so? Well, no, I'm not wearing a mask over my face. So now I can't do what I want to do without doing you tell me to do because you think it's right. And it's the same thing with going into Sprouts was escorting people out of the grocery store if you didn't wear a mask. And Sprouts is a wellness store. So, you know, there's things like, and then you start getting wind of this. So then you're wondering like, well, maybe I should do this so that I can do this. And then that makes you feel gross because you're like, no, I shouldn't have to do that because I don't want to do that. So
yeah,
I've
exactly.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Well, we proved it's illegal that all these things. It's a seizure of your face, which is a seizure of your person. It's against your Fourth Amendment rights to unreasonable searches and seizures. Right. You know, so why is it constitutional to seize your face with something that doesn't work, that's proven not to work, that has, I think, the micron of a virus compared to the space between the fibers of a mask is like equivalent to a mosquito flying through a garage door. It's that big a difference, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. So they're mandating things they have no right to mandate, but there's enough people. See, the problem is there's enough people going along with it. If I don't know where the threshold of revolution would be. I know with employers and employees, they got 30% of employees going out. They got a problem. They can't function. I've heard that 40%, is the threshold of revolution. It was 40% tax was the threshold of revolution. If you tax people 40% of their income, they're going to revolt. And it's going to be ugly. Whereas if you hide
and
those taxes, and then you can tax them much, much more. But if you openly go to people are willing to pay, you know, upwards of probably 25-30%, you can probably get away with that. If you're your average, you know, monarch back 100 years ago when they used to actually go to your property and say, well, we'll take, 30 of your crops. That's your tax, you know, to support the government or whatever it was. That's when tax was much more direct. Now it's all indirect. It's all hidden in withholdings and things like that. But if you figure 40% is the threshold of revolution, you cross over that, you're going to have a problem. So what is the threshold of revolution for mandates? I mean, have we reached that point? You know, well, actually, we're not there because the mandates are still in place. So how many people have to revolt by not wearing a mask and showing up at the airport before the airlines will say, look, we can't do this. We're not enough people are flying. Or how many people have to boycott flying? You know, I mean, where is that line? But we need to find it if we're going to keep our freedom. Mm-hmm. We need to find what rate of refusal is enough to change this? What rate of refusal on the job? What rate of refusal of a flying airplane? Like, I'm not flying. You know, I'd rather, if I had the money, I'd fly my own airplane. If I need to go somewhere, and that's something that.
Yeah.
So where are the new small, you know, personal air charters, you know, who will take people who refuse to mask? You know, well, they're all flying biz jets. They're all flying private jets right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where the rich people
because
are going.
Because
they can afford
exactly.
it. Exactly. You know, I bet you they're masks on private jets. Why? Because they're the elite. They're not going to do that. So they don't have to refuse because they got the money to get around it. So if you don't have the money to get around it, you know, is it 10%, 20% of airline passengers? What if 20% of the airline passengers showed up and said, we're not going to wear a mask. What are you going to do? Turn us all away? Yeah. I don't think so.
I could think.
But that's what
I don't know. Yeah, and that's the thing. There will I mean, I hate to say never. I'm sure it could happen. But too many people are waiting on too many people to do it. So, and then that's, but we know that because we aren't in that society anymore. We aren't in the revolution. We aren't in stand up. We do things, but we do them on a keyboard or we do them on the corner of a street where we're okay. And so, I mean, that's fine because that's just how we've been programmed. But they know that because that's not something you do anymore. And then they show it to where when people actually do that, it becomes violent. So then the people who do have a good idea to show up to an airport with no mask on, because they've been shown the violent side of things, they're like, oh, gosh, well, no, I'm not doing that because I don't want to get hit with a billy club and maced in the face. So I just won't go, or I'll put the mask on. And so it's this brain game that you play 24/7 when you are that type of person, when you care, but then you have a passion to do what you know is right. And then you're like, well, I'm empathic and I feel this, but then I don't, you know. So, and that's where we're at. But there's that, I don't know the answer to all that. I just know the answer to fixing it at your home and knowing that you can be well. You just have to have the right things in your house. And thank goodness in Florida, you can go to a dispensary and you can buy some wine and you can also watch some videos on YouTube about yoga and breathwork. And you can now Zoom with people. So it did do that. I mean, it opened up doors of if you have someone in California or Colorado that you really like to follow, you could schedule a Zoom call with them and have a, you know, nutritional advice from someone across the world. So it did that where people are stepping out of their boxes and being like, oh, well, I don't have to go to the local gym. I can, you know, watch Sarah in Sarasota. But yeah, so I guess that's where I'm at. It's just people, it's still here and it's turning into something completely different than the, than it was. And that's what, So,
well, there's one encouraging thing here. No, I want to talk about that a bit more. I just remember there's I just heard about this from the Malone video with Joe Rogan. There's something called Defeat the Mandate. Okay. There's a big demonstration worldwide, apparently, happening on January 23rd. And Defeat the Mandate's D.C. I got a post on my page. You guys can all or just look at yourselves. Just go to Facebook or just look online for Defeat the Mandate's D.C., and it's January 23rd. They're going to try and stop a lot of this stuff. But if you can fix yourself, if you can have, you know, I think a lot of the burnout has to do with people, they're either tired of fighting, don't know how to fight, don't realize that they're in a fight, you know, or they're somehow disempowered. They've gotten their personal choice and their authority taken away. And that's what oppressive dictatorial tyrants do. That's what tyrannical governments do. They take away your power. They don't give you choices. They isolate you, condemn you, take away the things that you love, and tell you that the only solution to all your problems is them, even though they're the source of all your problems. I can see why people are burned out.
Yeah, and that's where it says, it's like empowering them to have the power to choose what they can choose. So it's always like that. Well, just control the things you can control. So you may have to shop online. You may have to...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They can control their actual wellness inside their body. They may not be able to control the person that they're sitting beside, or but you can know who you are and what's going on in your body. And that's just by doing the right research, staying off of Google, and looking into finding someone who you trust and talk to, and tell them what's going on, and then getting the right supplements, going through your supplements and throwing the ones away that are terrible, that have horrible ingredients in them, but knowing that they have horrible ingredients in them, and that's why you're throwing them away. Then that empowers you to question that company. So then when you start, when stuff that matters to you starts bothering you, you do step up and kind of be like, well, that's not fair. I've been taking this, you know, I've been doing this for 6 months, and now I know it has soy in it. Oh my God. You know, so they start getting frustrated. It's like when I found out that, you know, Chick-fil-A was full of MSG and all the things, I got really mad and wrote
I didn't know that.
You know,
say that one more time for the folks, all the big fans out there.
Oh God.
One more time.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A, the batter had MSG in it. And I don't know because I don't eat it anymore.
It still?
I don't know if they removed it. Huh?
Does it still?
What now?
We don't know.
Oh,
does it still have monosodium glutamate?
I cut them off. So if you're going to put it in there once, I'm done. So I don't research you anymore. I don't look at you anymore. I don't talk to you anymore. Because, like, if the fact that you knew it was in there, you are should be a better company than that. So you don't deserve my money. And so that's where people need to get. It's like, oh, well, you screwed this. You did this. And now I can't trust you at all. So who's to say that you're not going to hide another ingredient later, which they do. So, yeah, it's just like once people – but if something bothers you enough, you'll kind of dig into it a little bit more. And I think COVID is bothering people and the vaccines are bothering people, but if it's not directly affecting them yet, they're just letting it – whatever. Oh, it's okay. Well, when it starts bothering me, I'll do something about it. And,
well, unless
you know,
you're
that could
partially
be
paralyzed or you lose a loved one. I mean, One American News is reporting 946,000 people injured, adverse effects, or death. That's almost a million people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge amount of the population compared with what it should be under normal circumstances for a normal vaccine that was tested and proven over the course of 10 years. You know, they might have 10 people have adverse effects or 10 people die and then, you know, millions upon millions get it and they prevented some whatever disease. That's how they're supposed to work. However, this is not that situation. This is much worse. Mm-hmm. Not only is it not preventing and may or may not be lowering the symptoms, it's killing a lot of folks. And I've got several articles here, which I'll probably be going over more tomorrow. But yeah, so talk about a disconnect.
And they just don't.
You know,
what?
This is, I wonder if this is part of the burnout too, is there's a disconnect. The disconnect between the reality and the propaganda. And the propaganda says that if you take the vaccine, you'll never get COVID and you'll never spread it. And that's not true.
Yeah. Well, and that was the meme. There was a meme that I just saw before doing the call, and it said, vaccines are safe and effective. And above it, it said, this is deadly advice. It is. Like,
that's a really good point.
Huh?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That was
we
it. Just the fact that people that needs to be told is that it is deadly advice to tell someone that. Just like we got on the subject of, like, doing things to help people the last show. You can do that and think you're helping people, but you're really not. So... It's just hard. It's hard to change people. You will never change these people's mindsets it's a mirror. They are just as passionate about it as we are not. There's not one article you could show me that would convince me to take it. And there's not one article that we could show them that would convince them that it's killing them. So you just have to move forward and find what maybe if they ever read an article that changes their mind or if they see something or if they actually do get some adverse effects. Because even the people getting adverse effects aren't, and they've got the shot, some of them, and most of them, unfortunately, it doesn't register. I mean, I have people on my table that tell me, I got the shot in June, and then I got it again in August, and then I got COVID in October. And I'm like, and you didn't relate that to the shot, but okay. You know, so they just, and then like, it's the brain deadness. It's mind control. Not to say there's no hope, but we got to come around the back end. We got to do a Trojan horse. There's no telling someone anything anymore because they're only going to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, I've always said that assumptions are stronger than truth, and it looks like beliefs and emotions are stronger than facts and evidence. You know, we try and deal with facts, evidence, logic, and reason here. And I've said that continually, especially this show today, because that's the topic. But you can't convince people of things that they refuse to that challenge their basic beliefs. And that was that first article I talked about in the first hour. If you want to go back and listen sometime after the show today, you get a chance. Yeah. But people hang on to their beliefs no matter what, especially what they call their sacred values, the things that they hold true. You know, if you believe that the government has your interest at heart, then you're gonna swallow all this stuff and go, oh yeah, and you know, you're gonna kill grandma if you don't wear a mask, and you know, the Karens that are out there. How does someone get so self-righteous that, like, the woman that slapped this guy or punched this guy in an airplane for not wearing a mask? Well, she wasn't wearing a mask either, you know, but she was so self-righteous. Mask up. You know, what the hell are you talking about, Karen? So he calls her a Karen, then she hits him. Oh, you didn't hear about that?
Karen. Yeah. No, I didn't. That's hilarious. And see, as soon as you told me that, I'm like, well, that was staged. So, because there's things like that.
Well, I don't
think so. I know, and it might not have been because I haven't seen it. So who knows?
Yeah.
But you can't say that you being on the news with no mask on, punching someone, telling them to put their mask on, is not ignorant. So unless you're told to do that to create this divide to where it's like, well, she didn't have her mask on and blah, 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 and like get us talking about it, then why the heck was it recorded? Like, what? So why is that news? Why are we not talking about, you know, the babies being killed and all and the rapes and the, why aren't we, if that, if you want to tell us something that's important, like give us some information. But the media is going to show us something that makes us talk about it. So then, and then nothing happens because it's already happened.
No, she got arrested.
It doesn't matter.
Something definitely happened. She got arrested for assault.
Yeah, okay, look, yeah.
But that's just one person. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's just one person, yeah. And like, you know, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Dr. Judy Mikovits, she had on the wrong kind of mask, and they caught it that it was the wrong kind of mask. They made, and she, they made her put on another, they wanted her to put on the right kind of mask, and she wouldn't. And so they carried her off the plane with her mask in her hand behind her back, and people spit at her. And
yeah, I know. She told that story when she was on the show. We've got that on record.
Yes.
So if you scroll back to our Judy Mikovits show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a silver mask. It's actually one that works compared to the cloth one.
It was a silver mask.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And the fact of the matter is that people don't know her. The people that don't know her know the story. The video makes it look like she didn't have a mask on, but it was because the mask was in her hand behind her back. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, she didn't have a mask on at all. So then you can take it and spiral it down the rabbit hole, and they just want you to talk. They want you to talk. They want you to get mad. They want you to think about it and just stop. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking. Not you. But, like, these people need to just be like, okay, well, that's great. Too bad, too sad. It sucks to be them. And move on and find something that you can do to change. And that's get healthy. Because it's coming. The flu's back. Everything's back. They're fixing it. Who knows if the smallpox.
32 degrees out there right now. Folks, 32 degrees in Milton, Florida. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just insane. And there'll be another disease. There'll be another virus. There'll be another outbreak. There'll be another pandemic. It just happens. And so until you know that you're okay, you will continue to feel unempowered. And that's the only thing I can suggest to people.
Sick? Does if you feel unempowered or disempowered, does that lower your immune system?
Oh, absolutely.
I know stress does, and we've talked about fear. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know that's why I got COVID. Yeah, I know that's why. I mean, I didn't get tested for it, but I know that that's why I got sick. It's because I was in that spiral of, why can't I do what I want to do? And I would get mad, and I would get frustrated, and then I would get angry, and then I would blame something for something, and and I got sick. And it was because my immune system was shot because it was stressed out and doing everything else. But that was like, that's because that's who I am. So that's why I can register with these people who that's what they're thinking. They're like, oh, no way you're taking this from me. And then, but then you get mad because, well, they really did. And this is where we're at. And then you just kind of go down this whole, who am I? What do I want to do? And why am I doing what I'm doing? So I get it. And I know that sometimes you have to go on a journey to help people who are on that journey. And so that's why I get so passionate about it, is like the answer is to just stop worrying about it to those people, to people who are like that, who have to, like the routine. I wasn't a routine person, but I was like, if I want to go to Walmart at 12 o'clock at night and buy a frozen pizza, like, you know, let me do it and not be like looked at or not be, oh gosh, you're, you know, put on a mask. And not that it should matter what other people think, but I just got sick of it. Yeah. And I still have a disdain, like when I see people with masks on in their car. So that's something that I have to work on. That's not that person's fault. That's
irrational.
Chancy.
I made a joke one day. I said, you know, I said, this is going to get so bad. People are going to wear masks in their cars with the windows up. And this is when the mask mandates first came out. And then I actually saw somebody do it. And I almost drove off the road. I laughed so hard. I couldn't believe that people would be that stupid. You know, and you think about it, especially if you're the only person in your car, your windows are up and you're wearing a mask. Yeah. You know, what are you worried about? What kind of fear has been created in these people? Well, of course, fear sells the vaccine. Here's the ultimate thing. This is the scariest part about this. This is all a marketing campaign. COVID, the creation of COVID, and everything, and the vaccines themselves, which are not vaccines, which are, you know, messenger RNA things that actually give COVID. You know, in fact, Judy Mikovits talked about that. There's COVID in the vaccine. It teaches your body how to make COVID, turns off your immune system so you can't stop your body from making COVID. And somehow that's supposed to teach your body, you know, how to encourage your immune system to go against the COVID. Well, the problem is your immune system already knows how to go against the COVID. That's why it's called an immune system.
Right.
So you're giving your body something to do what your body already does, takes your body's ability away to do what it already does, and then sort of reteaches it how to do what your body used to do well, and it teaches your body how to do it badly, and then through antibody enhance or antibody-dependent enhancement actually creates variants. You know,
yep.
I, except that the new one, what I'm calling the Omicron cold that I think I had for a week. We were talking about Shelby about this earlier. Shelby says all her friends are suddenly saying they've had COVID because it's trendy, I think. You know, say, oh, I had COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a good person. I had COVID and I survived. Aren't I great? You know, it's like, to me, it was a cold. I had it like 2 weeks ago. I had to go to a hospital for an exam. And then, you know, kind of a nasty cold, or it could have been Omicron. So I called my health professionals, the experts, and I said, you know, do you have an Omicron test? Well, no, we don't. We have just a COVID test. I said, are you still using PCR? Well, yeah. I said, well, that test has like 90% false positives. I said, do you have a test that's accurate?
Right.
Well, that's the one we use. Well, then how do you know if somebody has, so you don't know if someone has COVID or the flu or a cold? Well, no. And Omicron has the same symptoms as a cold. Well, yeah. So I could get tested and you still wouldn't know. Well, so then how do you determine, how are people determining, you know, whether it's Omicron or a cold? And this person said they're guessing. I'm like, what? Well, based on the symptoms. Well, I said, but the symptoms are the same.
Yeah.
She says, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. That was very enlightening. So now
mm-hmm.
they have.
Yeah.
So you must have just called the Omicron cold.
Like,
this must be frustrating.
Yeah, that's like.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's like, it's one more thing. It's one more thing to check off your list is to wonder what you've got, because you're never going to know. They've just renamed it, or they've renamed everything, and they can do that however many times they want. But, and that was another thing that was read the other day. It was like, you remember when we used to say, oh, yeah, that's going around my house, too. Everybody got it. We felt like crap for a week. And then the other person will be like, yeah, me too. I felt like crap 2 days. And then you just go about your business. Because you're talking normal stuff. Like, yeah, people get sick. Get over it. And people die. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens in life and in the world. And so when we quit measuring it, we're back to reality. But until we stop measuring it, we will always be in a frantic. And that's what they want. Measurement, measurement, measurement. So then you measure everybody. Yeah.
So when you say measurement, what do you mean by measurement? That's kind of interesting. I'm not sure exactly what
measurement
you mean.
And measurement and wellness. So you start measuring as in, well, how long did you have it? Or what were your symptoms? Oh, yeah, me too. Or, and then you're comparing and you're like, oh, well, I'm healthier than her. I didn't lose all my hair. Or I've got it. Oh, okay. Well, she must have had a bad case because she threw up and had, you know, horrible bathroom problems. So you're just always in comparison and seeing if that's what you got, or did I get that strain? Can I get another one? Is there another one out there that I can get? So you're always waiting, looking, and searching. And then, of course, you're going to get it. You're going to, you know, I scooped cat litter the other day for the first time in probably my entire life, and I felt like I was dying for 2 days. And it was a sign that it was an allergic reaction to the synthetic chemicals in the cat litter. But if I was, you know, if I didn't know my body, I'd have been like, oh, gosh, I have COVID. I have Omicron. I need to go get tested. And then I run and get tested, and it's a positive or a negative, and then that goes into the system. And then I wonder if I can get it again, you know. So just stop measuring.
Well, Keller has a disease that affects pregnant women. I think it's called toxoplasmosis.
Yes.
It's actually a danger that pregnant women should not be scooping litter boxes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, so who's to say that if it's a danger to pregnant women, who's to say it's not a danger to women or men, for that matter?
In
other words, is cat litter in fact dangerous? Because you're dealing with poop, so you're dealing with hazmat anyway, you know. So maybe there is something. Maybe you should be checking off the cat litter. I heard something fascinating the other day. I posted tea bags. They're saying that a lot of tea bags are made from plastic. They're just fibrous plastic. And apparently the boiling water when you put in your tea can actually make billions of nanoparticles of plastic break off. So all these people are ingesting plastic with their tea. So I immediately ran to my Twinings box, which didn't say. And then I looked it up, and they actually use paper. There's a little bit of stuff, you know, some kind of heat sealant at the top. But for the most part, Twinings are paper bags, so it's okay. So I thought, great, I can keep drinking my tea. But I would have been stuck with going to find some new tea. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah. That's why I only drink my bags. They're all recyclable, compostable, organic. I've never done Twining, so I don't know. But that's one of the big issues. Yeah, it's bleached paper. So even the paper sometimes is bleached white to be pretty and white. So, and then the same thing with cat litter. I don't have a cat. Thank that. So it was somebody else's. Thank goodness. But it's one of those things where you're just like, I don't know. Like, this is random and weird, and I just did something. And are going to these, they're going into these places that have been sprayed with heavy, heavy chemicals, and then walking out, and then maybe like a day later or like 2 hours later getting a headache, and then it spirals down, and it's an allergic reaction to the synthetic chemicals that you just got blown in your face to save you. And they don't relate to, they're not relating it. They're not correlating it. And I don't know, there's a lot of education behind that that needs to happen, but it's not going to. And I think I told you about the, I walked into Walmart and it was super, super strong when I walked into Walmart, just the smell. Well, when I walked out, I was just like, what is that smell? And they had hung air fresheners, like car air fresheners from the sanitizer above you. Like it's supposed to be sanitizing the air from COVID. Let's do all these things. And they had hung those little bubble, like air fresheners from it. So what, like, but that's ignorance. That right there, the I should have went to the manager and I should have educated him, but in my mode of just like whatever, I'm like, God, people are so stupid. Like, but, and they don't even know. Like, they just hung that up there to smell good and said, let's do this. People will think it's clean. And it blows my mind.
So they had a sanitizer and then they had an air freshener under it. What's wrong with the air freshener? I'm not familiar with why that's a problem.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, that's a whole show. Any synthetic fragrance is a hormone disruptor. So most...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it creates a spiral of... I mean, and not even to mention that they have carcinogens in them. So your lungs are immediately strained and trying to get rid of that. Anything that's a synthetic fragrance, it will immediately turn your body into like a factory of, what is this? Why am I smelling... passion fruit when I'm in a concrete building and it is trying to determine if it's real or if it's fake. And then it goes past the blood brain barrier. I mean, And that's another thing, like all these hand sanitizers with smells in them, we're ruining our immune system. But that's what they know that. So these scientists know that all this does that, but that's why it's still on the market. And I can't prove that, but that's where we're at. They know that Lysol kills you.
Who is this? I think it was George Carlin, a comedian, who was saying that you have an immune system, use it. You know, he used to swim in rivers with raw sewage. Like he was fine because he used it. And I was reading an article that Pianchi's big on this too, that you have to use your immune system, otherwise you lose it. And we have it. It's like anything else. Yeah. If you don't use your brain, you know, your brain cells start turning off because they're not needed. You know, same thing with immune things. You have to, it's designed to be used just like you exercise your muscles. You have to exercise your immune system. And if you're sanitizing everything, it's actually more dangerous. It's like if you try and remove all the bacteria from your body, you'll die because there's a lot of good ones in there.
Yeah.
The first thing I did, a lot of, I like my probiotic stuff. I like my yogurt, my organic yogurt, good stuff with some natural honey on it. You know, so I'm getting all kinds of, symbiotic effects.
Yeah.
But, you've got to be, constantly fighting a war with the government folks that say that what you're saying is wrong, that it's not government approved, and people who say, well, is this approved? I mean, can you give me whatever, X, remedy for X problem? And is it like a disbelief?
Yeah.
Because unless it's from Pfizer or Bayer or Merck or one of the big pharma things, officially government FDA approved, somehow that it's one of the fallacious arguments. There was I read this earlier. It was kind of interesting. It's like the 10 false arguments that are used constantly. It's common logical fallacies. And that would be the one we're talking about now is the appeal to authority. Number 3, asserting that something must be true because it is backed up by someone who allegedly is an authority on the subject. So if someone says, well, it has to be right because it was said by Dr. Fauci and he's an expert. I get this all the time. Well, so that doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean he's an expert. It doesn't mean he can't be wrong.
Yeah.
You're saying, it's a fallacious argument.
And that is hilarious. And so those people, I mean, you just got to, I don't know. You just can't sometimes get past that little shield and you just, you hope that they come to the light. And if they don't, then they live completely fine. Because they will do what they want to do, and it will not stress them out, and they will that's also what we're dealing with, is all these people who are getting the shot and you're not seeing anything. Like, that was in that Joe Rogan podcast with the doctor. It was like, just because the body is amazing. So you will mm-hmm. see some people that aren't going to, you know, display things right now. But that doesn't yeah. mean, like Dr. King said, in 3 to 5 years, they get cancer. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, and per what they're trying to do, they won't even relate the two. It'll just be, well, I was going to get cancer one way or another, you know. So, and that's, they know that. So they've got some ticking time bombs that they've created. And then they've mm-hmm. also got some explosives, like, that just that happen immediately. And that's so that it doesn't look like it's just the shot. Well, if it was the shot, then why wouldn't everybody be dying? You know, so that that gives that person who questions it just a little bit, well, my aunt got it and she's fine. Well, what is fine? What does that mean? But people don't even know how to define okay or well. She's healthy. Well, do you look at her medicine cabinet? Do you look what she puts on her body? You don't know if she's healthy. She just looks like Aunt Sue, and she seems like she's got it together. But it's just it's pitting us against each other. And that same thing with wellness people. It's pitting the, you know, we're hippie, we're woo woo. You've got your oils and your supplements. Go hide in a cave and don't wear deodorant. Like, they want it to be weird instead of just being like, well, maybe I figured it out. Maybe I have a story. Because if you listen to someone's story of how they got to where they got, then you kind of believe them. Yeah, you're like, oh, so you didn't used to do all this, and then you did it, and it worked. And it's like, yeah. So, like, how someone has to be proven, why don't you just use yourself to, when you did that, did it do this? And pay attention to your life instead of what other people are telling you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the thing. So my goal would be to tell y'all to try to find something that makes you happy every day, do something joyous every day, and then be kind to yourself every day. And if you make that a priority, you'd be surprised at how you start feeling better mentally. And then when your mind is happy, you can, oh, I think I'm going to do yoga, or I think I'm going to do some stretching tonight, or I think I'm going to maybe make a smoothie in the morning instead of letting the world get in your head. It definitely helps to declutter your brain, your mind, and find somebody that can help you. So reach out to someone that will tell me what's going on. You know, just listen. Just let someone listen to you. And usually we can figure it out ourselves if we just talk it out loud. But too many people aren't doing that. So
too many people are cut off from their own body. So they're cut off from their emotions rule. They're looking for an outside authority. They're looking for a validation that is pure propaganda. And they're not, there's just like they don't trust their own thoughts and they don't believe their own body. It's a weird separation that's going on. It's like the more technological we become, the more disconnected people become from who they are. It's kind of strange what's happening these days. And the younger generations are the worst. They're the most fearful, most technologically connected, most obese, least healthy, most vaccine, most chemically loaded, like lowest sperm count, you know, lowest muscle mass, lowest, really horrible things. Mm-hmm. And they don't want relationships either because they don't understand. They don't have the contacts. Mm-hmm. So I worry about the future. Of course, I think every generation worries about the future, but we're facing things we never faced before with technology.
We are. Yeah. And that's where they want us, is that, you know, and who knows what the plan is, but my concept is that that's the plan, that we'll have a generation of infertile, ignorant, ignorant's not a bad word, it's just they're ignorant, they don't know much, people, and those people will rule the world for a little bit. And then we'll go back into the whole thing of people stepping up and stepping out. So it has to be a cycle. So we breed these people to be like that. They don't want a husband or wife. They don't want kids. They don't really care to, like, get out in the world. So they stay on their laptop forever. Oh, that's a good CEO. Let's hire him. And he'll stay up till midnight, and he'll figure all this stuff out. And then you go and you go and you go and you go for a few years, and there's no kids. There's not a baby booming thing. And then you'll have. And then it'll eventually get to the point where we'll do it again, and it'll be, well, maybe I do like the outdoors, and maybe I do want to, you know, hunt and fish and do the things. So it's just generational. And thank God I was the one that is, that knows a little bit about the fact that I need my immune system. So But I love this show, and I need to, again, take care of myself. I'm headed to the chiropractor to get adjusted.
Okay.
And then I have a full day of clients, and it has I'm so excited for the new year, and I hope that people get something from something that I say and be like, well, maybe I should talk to her. So,
well, give us your contact information. Let's talk about Thursday because I want to go to the wine tasting. And anything else you want to mention, any other events.
So
let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, ChanceyTerry.com is my website, and you can find me there with Facebook and Instagram. And then I am holding a wine tasting of organic, clean-crafted wine and a beautiful charcuterie board that has organic, clean, gluten-free, non-GMO options to pair with the wine at Second Fold Antiques and Men's Clothing. It's in Milton. And again, you can find, if you find me on Facebook, then you find me on blah, blah, blah. The event will be there, but it's at 6 p.m. and it will be just a fun time of getting to know other people and how you can still be well and have fun. And that's what I try to teach people. And then the next thing that I won't see y'all or I won't talk to you until, so it's Friday at Everman's on 9 Mile. At 5 p.m., I'm doing a sound bath, which is just a beautiful experience of using sound to balance the body and giving it a moment of reset and just allowing it to come back to balance. And then you can take on the world a little bit better. You lay there, you cozy up on a yoga mat with a blanket and a pillow, and you just lay there and music is played over you, but it's music, but it's different. So until you've experienced it, people are just like, oh, that's what that is. So that's at 9 Mile. Everyone's at 5 o'clock. It's free. You can just show up with in your pajamas if you want to, or you can make it a date night. There's food there, you know, all the things. So I just am so excited about all the things coming at me, but it's a load of things that we just have to take one bite at a time and hope
fun.
That we're
you're helping people. You know, I know it doesn't seem like work to you anymore than this radio show seems like work to me. No, but first of all, the 5 p.m. one in Everman's, that's Pensacola. And the one that Chance is doing at 6 p.m. On Thursday, that's in Milton. And so just to make folks who are in the area might want to go see it. But don't forget, we've got an international audience. You know, we've got France has moved up to number 4 on our international list. So we've got UK, that'd be United Kingdom, Canada, Australia and France is where our international stuff's going. Usually the fourth one is a different country. Russia was the number 4 spot for a while. So definitely reaching out there. And so we will continue to get bigger and bigger. And I want to follow this January. You might want to look into this January 23rd stand against mandates. So that might be something interesting as well. And things are going on. But yeah, I know you got busy stuff to do. But thank you again. And I'll get you a theme one of these weeks. So once I get sort of more of a feel for how your report's going, I'll think of something pithy, witty, and probably funny to say about you. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. They have a theme you can do. I'm thinking like some like 60s psychedelic music in the background, something, you know, where you just imagine walking through this door with beads in it and it says, hello, I am Chauncey. Welcome to my therapy, you know. This is an image I'm conjuring up, you know, with I'll save the details.
Thank you.
I do think,
Well, y'all have a beautiful day and feel free to reach out.
Well, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thank
have a good week, too. I'll see you Thursday.
Yes, you too. Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, I want to try organic wine. Are you kidding? Is it a chance to get organic wine and gluten-free stuff? I mean, hey, I'm gonna go for it. It's just me right now. And so Gene had to leave a little early. Chancey's gone. Shelby's gone. Josie couldn't join us today. She'll be back Thursday. And so we'll do our Thursday anniversary show. Tomorrow, I'm thinking of doing something. You know, tomorrow's going to be like a COVID day. I mean, I try and keep things to a minimum. Well, no, I don't. I mean, there's only so much COVID crap I can take, and then I get away from it. But tomorrow we're going to do it because I still call COVID and the COVID vaccines the most preventable medical holocaust in world history. And there was none of this stuff is necessary. We had early cures. They didn't have to create the virus. They certainly didn't have to create the vaccine, you know, 10 years before the virus. But all this stuff is just horrendous. So let me try something that's kind of a shorter story. That's going to lead more into January 6th as I'm reshuffling things here. I found something interesting. We're going to talk more about Mike Pence as the Democrats try to push him into the Republican nomination, much like they did Mitt Romney and John McCain. And so Mike Pence is the bad guy. He's the number one person that could have prevented the insurrection of Biden occupying the White House. And he didn't. And so we're going to focus on him. He's going to be running for president. He's going to be the anti-Trump rhino. He'll be this term's Mitt Romney. So you had John McCain, who's passed away. And so nothing, I can't comment too much about him, but, as far as I know, I'm sure he was fine, serving the military, good for him. But as far as a politician, he sucked. Okay. Mitt Romney, same thing. I'm sure he raised lots of money for Bain Capital and probably was, a good free market kind of person, but as a politician, he completely sucks too. So all these rhinos that get up there and they do the bidding of the deep state, and the deep state is a combination of Republicans and Democrats, Democrat Marxists and Republican geldings. That's what's going on. But Mike Pence had several occasions where he could have sent the Biden electors back to the governors and secretaries of state and counted the Trump electors from the state legislatures, which is what the Constitution says. That's who sends the electors to Congress. And he didn't do that. And so let's go to Gateway Pundit for the last 10 minutes of our show here. And the article is, what a surprise, Democrats want Mike Pence to run for president. Of course they do, because they know he's part of the deep state. He's the next Brandon. Okay, so to be Brandon Pence, he'll do exactly what he's told. I'm sure, like he's always done what he's told. Even as governor, I'm sure he did what he was told. And so he's risen in the party hierarchy. And now it's time for the Democrats to direct the Republicans for what they should do again. Democrats are always telling Republicans how to vote and what issues they should concentrate on and what things they should worry about. It's really fascinating. Republicans never tell Democrats because Republicans are the loser party. They're the party of controlled opposition. They're the ones that are supposed to be in second place all the time to give the fake impression that somebody's actually against the Marxist Democrats when they aren't. All right. So this is by pro-Trump news staff. Yeah, blatantly biased and proud of it. And this is from January 1st, so a couple days ago. In the article in Gateway Pundit, what a surprise, Democrats want Mike Pence to run for president. So it says, since Mike Pence refused to stop the certification of the 2020 election, his relationship with Trump has become strained. Well, yeah. Trump has repeatedly blasted Pence over his decision to certify the election. Yeah, see, Mike Pence is the one that put Biden in office, more than so than anybody else. You want to blame somebody, he's the one you need to blame because he's the one that did it. And the fact that he's escaped the blame is rather amazing. Anyway. So then we got another little thing here. Trump issues statements blasting Pence and declaring the presidential election of 2020 will go down as the crime of the century. No, the crime of the century is COVID. But the stealing of Trump's election by Biden is pretty damn close. All right, let's call that one number two. So the article says Pence has since admitted there were irregularities. In other words, there were fraud right, in the vote, but still claims he did the right thing. Well, that's intellectually impossible. You can't claim to know that crimes existed and then suppress those crimes and say you did the right thing. Obviously, he didn't do the right thing, but he's saying he did the right thing because that's what, that's what he wants everyone to believe, and that's what the Democrats want, and the deep state Republicans want everybody to believe that he's the good guy. Trump's the bad guy, so they're going to try and run Pence against Trump. It's going to be funny, depending on how blatant Trump gets. And he needs to have a good name for Pence, And I don't think Traitor Pence will do it because it's not funny, even though it's accurate. But we need something like, Brandon Pence. that'd be kind of cool. All right. So he says, so turncoat Mike Pence, on January 6th, I said I believe there were irregularities, but I know I did the right thing. And there's a video on that. And then Gateway Pundit says, time's up, Mike. We've seen enough. You just don't have what it takes. Turncoat Mike Pence, or maybe turncoat Mike Pence. That might be a good one. Turncoat Mike Pence spoke with CBN, that'd be Christian Broadcast Network, this news this week. He now says there were irregularities in the 2020 election, but it was up to the states to do something about it, and he was not going to delay the electoral count when he should have. In fact, that was the whole point. So the question we're going to ask him on Thursday, January 6th, is what really happened on January 6th. Okay? We want to know. What happened when they got the talk? What happened when Congress shut down? I think it was the House at 1, the Senate at 2, and then the House came back at 8 and the Senate came back at 9. What happened during those hours? There's nothing in the congressional record. I know, I've looked. There's nothing in the congressional record. So what happened during those hours? Did they get what I think they got, which was the talk? And what's the talk? The talk is by Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi in the House and Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer in the Senate. The talk is, here's what you're going to do. Here's how you're going to vote. Here's how we're going to stabilize this government. Here's how we're going to get out of this, this insurrection. And what they said was that you have to vote for Biden. And they said that in both chambers. And even though they said, well, you have to vote for Biden for the good of the country, you know, because we can't have Trump. Trump's a racist. Trump's a, you know, he believes in America first, and we can't have that. You know, they can't say that, but that's what's really going on. And so because of that, because of this rather interesting phenomena, they had to weasel their way out of it. And the way they weaseled it was they rationalized that Trump was bad for the country, even though he has been the best thing for the country since Reagan. Even Reagan wasn't that good. Trump's been a lot better. Trump's really been the best thing since, well, my favorite presidents, Calvin Coolidge, John Kennedy. Reagan, I'm not as big a fan of, but especially, but the biggest fan, of course, is Donald Trump. And so this is what happens. And so now the turncoat's being rewarded. And the article now says Democrats are now openly calling for Mike Pence to run. Richard Weisberg, who served in the Obama administration, wrote an op-ed for The Hill calling on Mike Pence to run for president in 2024. Well, you know, when the Democrats are calling for a particular Republican to run, it's not because they're interested in the Republican, you know, doing well. They're not interested in the Republican Party doing well. They're certainly not interested in America doing well because they think America does best, or they don't care. They just want the power for themselves. So anytime a Democrat tells a Republican to run, you know that's the worst possible Republican to run, and yet they're going to do it anyway. And so it says Weinberg, this is back to the article, Weinberg said that Pence should make his, quote, resolution to impede a dastardly and brutish leader. Oh, you brute. Yeah, we know who they're talking about, Trump, right? And restore sanity to the Republican Party. Well, if you're a Democrat, what is sanity? Well, sanity is when you comply with what the Democrats want. Sanity is when you go along with the rules the Democrats want. Sanity is when you raise the debt ceiling. Sanity is when you have more and more regulations. Sanity is when you don't object, you know, to being thrown out of the election office so the Democrats can you know, screw around with the count. That's what they consider sanity, all right? So the Hill reports, if any or all of these scenarios ring true, Pence is going to do the right thing early in 2022 by announcing his candidacy for the 2024 presidential election, emphasizing that his party needs to get rid of Trump and campaigning immediately to restore Republicans to sanity. So there you go. There's your campaign. There's your Mike Pence campaign right now. Mike Pence. For sanity in the Republican Party. Oh, really? You know, Mike Pence traitor, turncoat. Mike Pence who sabotaged the Constitution, you know, put a fraudulent person in the White House when Trump won. Yeah, great guy. Interesting. And the article, but The Hill, of course, The Hill is, you know, blatantly Democrat biased anyway. So that's why Gateway Pundit's quoting The Hill, which is kind of funny. Anyway, so it says, we haven't heard much from Pence since the Capitol riots. Well, they weren't exactly riots, right? Okay. But that's what The Hill is saying. I call it the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In. That's what I titled Thursday's show as. So we haven't heard much from Pence since the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In, according to me. He single-handedly kept the Republic that day and night. He single-handedly kept the Republic? He destroyed the Republic. This is Orwell doubly through the looking glass backwards reality. That's not what really happened. What really happened was Biden, you know, screwed the Constitution. Over, you know, fraudulently put somebody in place who lost, and yet he's called, and that's called saving, keeping the Republic? Oh, please. He says, if Benjamin Franklin could vote for the man of the year, it would be Pence. I don't think so. The Hill is great for propaganda. It says, the calm visage of the then vice president fulfilling his ministerial duty to count electoral votes that day contrasted vividly with the adoring unctuousness, I have to look up that word, unctuousness, of his face over the prior 4 years as he gazed at President Trump with reverence. Yeah, he gazed, yeah, well, I saw what he like. It wasn't reverent, trust me. Anyway, the article says on January, this is the Hill article, not the Gateway Pundit that's covering the Hill. The Hill article says on January 6th, the good Christian in Pence finally dovetailed with the good servant of the Constitution who had sworn to defend against enemies, domestic or foreign. Well, that statement's not true either. Because Pence actually overthrew the Constitution. It's the Constitution that they got overthrown January 6th by putting Biden in, not the government. Because Biden's not a legitimate person because he lost. And we know that because of all the evidence. And we can go over that sometime too. Surprised I don't have a caller. I've only got 2 minutes left, but you can still call me, 215-383-3832. Anyway, his candidacy would mobilize many faithful Christians. Oh, so they're bringing Christianity into this? So this is the angle. You know, Pence is good because Pence is Christian. Christians are good, therefore Christians should vote for Pence. That's your faulty logic. Remember those things we talked about? The faulty logic? If two things, you know, are two things that aren't true don't make it true. You know, multiple statements that are disconnected don't come out to the you know, a predetermined outcome that they're trying to tell you. They're trying to tell you Pence is a good Christian. Okay? I guess it's my 90-second warning in my ear. Trump is, you know, Pence is a good Christian. Therefore good Christians will vote for him. Well, that's not true either. for so many reasons. All right. He says they want a believer who knows the Bible right side up. They would vote for Pence in 2024. So they're going to try and go for the Christian vote against Trump. That ain't going to happen. I guarantee you Trump's going to get the what they're calling the Christian vote. Anyway, the end of this Gateway Pundit says, arise, Mike Pence. Make it your resolution to impede a dastardly and brutish leader. Reemerge to restore sanity to your party and legitimacy to your legacy. You'll have the good wishes of all those who may vote against you eventually in November 2024 and the inevitable support of those in your party who are needed to nominate you that prior summer. Yeah, see, that's what happens. That's the funny part about it. So Democrats get the Republican they want, in other words, Mitt Romney, you know, John McCain, and then they vote against him anyway. That's the funny part about this. So anyway, so watch Mike Pence. Let's see what traitorous thing, treasonous thing, turncoat thing he'll do this time. But he's the person that really put Joe Biden in the White House illegally. And so that's what we have to figure, investigate, talk about, and share those stories. But they're out there. Anyway, so go to Gateway Pundit. I'm only got about 10 seconds left, so let me just tell you that tomorrow's going to be an interesting show on the greatest preventable medical holocaust in history, in other words, COVID and the vaccines. And Thursday, we're going to do a January 6th anniversary show with Josie and Jonathan, who were there at the Capitol January 6th, and we'll be reporting on their feelings and revelations since that day, you know, 1 year later. So it's going to be really, really interesting. Friday, I haven't quite figured out yet, but I'll worry about that Thursday. Greg Pangloss for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our website for our bills is www.writeyourlaws.com. If you want to get help us out by buying some Strikeforce, where you get a 20% discount, you can go to strikeforceenergy.com. And if you want to contribute to us, or if you want to become a sponsor or purchase yourself some advertising, the account for that is paypal.me/actionradio. And I will see you all tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, and the rest of the world, you'll figure it out.